ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശരശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭിനിചരണാനവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ണു വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശരശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini. Namaste Saraswate Vim Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshadarini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം വരം ജന്മാദ്യസേതോന്വയാദിതരശ്ചാത്തേഷവിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയത്സൂരയ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം വരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതപോത്രവരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തുശ്രുതം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം പാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ബലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായുനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതിരവോഭിനേതുഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി ഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരവേഗം അദ്യാത്മദീപമതിദിവീർഷദാന്തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തി കളവേണു പുനിതാദൃദാനനിന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാവി കാവി കാവി നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാദ്യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മപാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതിരാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം
ഗോവിന്ദ
ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാ പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി
മമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദതാമി
ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധി ദുലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രമേയത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈക വാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹൻ വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും യുഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജേന്ദ്രജലാകാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പ്രീപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം
ഗോവിന്ദ
ഗോവിന്ദ So this churning of the milk ocean in the Bhagavatam, what is the significance of this? One thing you will find that many people who have participated in the churning of this milk ocean, they also appeared at the time of when Krishna arrived here. So they say, many devotees who have looked at Bhagavatam seriously, they say that actually this milk ocean churning was where the selection was made of those who have to come with Krishna here. Majority of the demons who appeared in the Krishnavataram, in Krishna's appearance, they were all present in this churning of the milk ocean. That's one thing. Like you can see, Kalanemi Kamsaskamsa, and there are many others also. So this, it seems that it was more or less like a selection of those who had to come with Krishna for the, in his pastimes. They were all present in the churning of the milk ocean. We were talking about this, that how in the personalities who appeared, Krishna is concerned who has devotion, that what matters. In the Ekadasha Skandam, in the 11th canto, this rishi called Chamasa Maharshi, if you remember, the Navayogis, Kavi, Hari, Andariksha Prabuddha Pipalayanam, Avir Hotra Drumila, Chamasa Karabhajana, that Chamasa Maharshi made a statement in the 5th chapter of the 11th canto. What was that statement? He said that Dure, 4th verse, 11:54. Dure harigada kejil dure ja achyuta kirtanaha striya shudradayascheiva tenu gambhya bhavadrisham. This was the statement. Dure harigada kejil dure ja achyuta kirtanaha സ്ത്രീയ ശൂദ്രാദയശ്ചൈവ തേനുകമ്പ്യാം ഭവാദൃശാം. ചമസ മഹർഷി സേയിങ് ദേർ basically the question from the king Nimi was that those who are not in a position to serve Krishna, they didn't get an opportunity in their life to serve Krishna due to various reasons. One reason could be that they had no control over their senses and attached to the sense enjoyment. What is their destiny? He asked. He asked, what is their destiny? What will happen to them? Because you can see, in this world, not everyone is inclined in spiritual life. Very, very few people are interested in spiritual life. And even those who are interested in spiritual life, very few people take to Krishna consciousness seriously. They go in different paths. Whatever their mind dictates from inside, due to their purva vasana, whatever that may be. Very few takes to spiritual life with the proper understanding, that goal of self-realization and once for all to stop this cycle of birth and death. This understanding very few people have, even though they have come to spiritual activities. Ultimately, to free themselves from the modes of nature and to free from the cycle of birth and death, that concept is not in everybody. So, when the king asked this question to him, that what will happen, he's asking to the Navayogis, these are the 9 yogis who are present there, who were discussing with King Nimi. So Nimi asked the question one who is capable of taking us out of this material existence, means who can free us from this cycle of birth and death. And people who don't want to serve him, don't want to take Krishna consciousness seriously, and due to their addiction to sense enjoyment or due to the strong inclination for sensual happiness, they carry on with this worldly life. What's their destiny? This was the question. And Chamasa Maharshi, among the 9 rishis, one of them, the Chamasa Maharshi said that that actually most of the people, because dure harigada kejil dure cha achyuta girtanaha sriya shudradeshaiva tenu kampyam bhavadrisham, particularly in them days when varnashrama dharma existed properly. Nowadays it is a little different situation, but then varnashrama dharma people followed rigidly. And he said there that among them, the women and the Shudra, they are not very fortunate due to their conditioning, due to the body as well as due to the conditioning. They do not get that opportunity to take Krishna consciousness seriously. That is the difficulty. They do not get that opportunity to take Krishna consciousness seriously. Women have their own difficulties in various things. So, generally, for them, and those who are not in a position to chant the holy name, due to whatever reasons it is, either lack of faith, that is a big problem. When you don't have faith in the holy name, then you can't chant. It will be simply making the, why they say, like the sound of the frog, inviting death. It is mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the beginning itself, isn't it? So due to various reasons like that, lack of faith, due to prarabdham, and due to vasana inside, all kinds of situations, people do not have the inclination for taking to Krishna consciousness seriously. Majority of the people have the same problems in that way. So, Chamasa Maharshi says, those people, they deserve Krishna's mercy more than anybody else, because of their situation. Those who have got the opportunity to serve Krishna, or those who have got that vasana inside for Krishna consciousness by birth itself, they are fortunate. But those who don't have it, then for them, the only thing he says there, that they require Krishna's special mercy. They require that mercy from Krishna. So that's what he's saying here. Dure harigada kejil, dure ja achyuta girtanaha, സ്ത്രീയ ശൂദ്ര ആദയശ്ചൈവ തേ അനുകമ്പ്യ ഭവാദൃശാം. യുവർ അനുകമ്പ, യുവർ മേഴ്സി ഈസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് ഫോർ ദം. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് യു കെൻ സീ. മേൽപ്പത്തൂർ സെറ്റ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് ഇൻ എ ഡിഫറെന്റ് വേ. ശ്രീ ശൂദ്ര തുൽക്കഥാമി ശ്രവണ വിരഹിതോ ആസദാം വേദയാർഹാം തൊത്പാദാസന്നയാതാൻ ദ്വിജകുല ജനുഷാൻ ഹന്ത ശോചാമ്യശാന്താൻ വൃത്യർത്ഥം ധേയജന്തേ ബഹു കഥിതമവി ത്വാം അനാകർണയന്തോ പൃത്വാ വിദ്യാഭിജാതി കിമുന വിധദതി താദൃശം മാ കൃതാമാം. മേൽപ്പത്തൂർ സെറ്റ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ ദാറ്റ് വിമൻ ശൂദ്ര ബോത്ത് ഓഫ് ദം ദേ റിക്വയർ യുവർ മേഴ്സി മോർ ദൻ എനിബഡി എൽസ്. വൈ? ബിക്കോസ് ദി എലിവേറ്റഡ് ബ്രാഹ്മണസ് ഹു ആർ എൻഗേജ്ഡ് ഇൻ സാക്രിഫൈസസ് യാഗം ഹോമം യജ്ഞം ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ദേ ഡോണ്ട് ഹാവ് മച്ച് ഓഫ് എൻ ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ യു ബിക്കോസ് ദേ ഫീൽ ദാറ്റ് ദേ ആർ സാറ്റിസ്ഫൈഡ് വിത്ത് ദെയർ സാക്രിഫൈസസ് and they feel that they will get elevated by that. So due to these reasons, he said, then they require, but you can see in the Bhagavadam, due to that approach, how much Brahmanas have suffered. When Krishna and Balaram came to Vrindavanam, and when he sent the cowherd boys to bring prasadam for Krishna and Balaram from the sacrifice, the Brahmanas refused. They didn't show any interest in their request. That is what it was said there. Shrunandobi na shushruvu, he says. They heard, the boys have come and asked, and the Brahmanas who are performing sacrifices, they just ignored them. They didn't take notice of them. They completely ignored them. Shrunandobi, although they heard, na shushruvu, they acted as though they haven't heard it. So it was at that time they gone back to Krishna and told Krishna what has happened. Krishna smiled and told them, the boys, go back and ask the women there. That is Krishna's mercy. Krishna said to the cowherd boys, go and ask the Brahmana women there. They will give you prasadam, Krishna said. They will give you everything. So when they went back and asked, and again they went back, because cowherd boys told Krishna and Balaram, it's no point in going back there again. Those Brahmanas even didn't care for us. They didn't even look at us. They didn't even talk to us, he said. So Krishna sent them back. And at that time, in the Bhagavadam it says that when they went up to them, what did they do? If you look at the 10th canto, in the 23rd chapter, you will see this. Chaturvidam bahugunam annamadaya bhajanehi abhisasru priyam sarva samudram iva nimnagaha. That when the boys came and before they could even ask, when the ladies or the Brahmana women came to know that Krishna and Balaram had come, they didn't even wait for anything. Before even they asked them, they took all the pots, what they have cooked, all the prasadam, everything. And without even asking for permission from anyone, they decided to leave the place to see Krishna and Balaram. At that point, their husbands, who are the Brahmanas, they stopped them from doing. And their brothers were there, family members were there. They all tried to stop them from taking the prasadam to Krishna. At that time, but because they have heard about Krishna and Balaram before from various places, they decided that we are not going to bother whether husbands like it or not. We are just going. And that's why you see, Shuka Brahma, she uses the word there. Abhisasru priyam sarva. Samudram iva namnaga means when the river flows into this ocean, it doesn't ask any permission. All the rivers flow into the ocean. All rivers flow into oceans. So, and they say that it is like the wife going towards the husband. The husband is the ocean, the rivers are the wives. So in the similar way, here, Samudra Vyonamnaga, Shukabrahma, she says. they ran straight away to see Krishna and Balaram there. So this is only possible only because the Brahmana women, they had bhakti in the heart. It is the symptom of that. That bhakti in the heart, attraction for Krishna. So what it is showing there is, Brahmanas were engaged in the karma, in the sacrifices. They were performing important sacrifices, whatever it was, sacrifices. But karma cannot attract you to Krishna. Bhakti only can attract you to Krishna. To prove that point, that particular pastime was spoken. Karma cannot attract us towards Krishna. You can perform all kinds of sacrifices. Sometimes very easily we get attracted to sacrifices. It is our nature. We have faith in karma. We have no faith in the bhakti. This difficulty. That is why always we tend to get involved in fire sacrifices and this and that. All kinds of things. People get attracted to that. Why? They feel that karma will develop bhakti. Karma cannot develop bhakti like that. Bhakti comes, that is coming from that surrender and also that faith in the person. Faith in the person. So particularly you can see that karma did not help the brahmanas to get attracted to Krishna. The wives of the brahmanas, they were attracted to Krishna because they already had bhakti in the heart. So what drags us towards Krishna is the bhakti, not the karma. So that is why it is a... Melpathur used two verses in Narayaniyam to criticize brahmanas for this. Although he came from a very highly elevated brahminical background. He saw himself that his own people, the way they were acting, he did not like it. And they criticized him very heavily. So in answer to that, among the 1,000 verses in the Narayaniyam, two long verses he kept it, criticizing them. Pāpoyam Krishna Rāme di agilagujadijam guhidam duscharitram. These brahmanas, what they have, they consider that they don't have any, they are not sinful. That's their conviction. They feel like that, they are not sinful. Because of that only we got a higher birth. That's how they thought about themselves. Pāpoyam Krishna Rāme di agilagujadijam guhidam duscharitram. But they are saying to those who are sitting and chanting the holy name and engaged in bhakti, they say, we know your history. You have done a lot of sinful things. That is why now sitting here and chanting Rama, Krishna is not going to solve the problem, they are saying. Nirlajyasyasya vachan yani me vighnidani bhradame vandhyashilo nijagilai sada vishnu mittham buddham ste. He had a brother, an elder brother, who also criticized him. That they didn't like it by chanting the holy name and sitting the whole day chanting. What kind of spiritual life is this? They said, "You have nindandi." So they started insulting him. Uchai hasandi, and they were laughing, ha ha ha. They were making fun of Melpathur. So he said, "Toi nihidaryadim." He said, "They have no attraction for you." He said to Krishna, "They have no attraction for you. Please don't make me one among them." Toiniha daradim tadrishamma kridhamam. Tadrishamma kridhamam. Don't make me one like that without any attachment for you. So this is what we were discussing then. Then to reach that state of bhakti for Krishna, then that is why while we are reading this churning of the milk ocean, there is a possibility that we may find it difficult to believe many things, what has happened. And you may start questioning this bhakti process itself. You'll start wondering, what is this bhakti? Or if you look at the next many verses in this chapter, right? They say some of them came on the eagles to fight. Some of them came on the birds. Some of them came on these seagulls. Then, you may think that how can you fight a war on top of all these things? Our concept of war is different from the way the demons and the demigods fought, right? They had the capacity to, they had all the yoga siddhis in them, all these birds, who were, they could increase the size of the body as much as they wanted, they could reduce the size of the body. It's a different kind of technology that was prevalent at that time. Today's technology is different. We have the, all these things, isn't it? Missiles, tanks and aeroplanes and all that. And now chemicals also they use. Some or the other you have to destroy the other side. That's the principle today. That they shouldn't exist. This was not the goal while fighting. Even the demigods and the demons. It is, as said before, dharmam was given the priority over anything else. Religious principles. That means even in fighting, they wanted to keep dharmam in the front. They will not break the dharmam. So, similarly, they could increase the weight of the body as much as they wanted. They can minimize the weight if they liked, right? And some of them came in all kinds of vehicles, you will see mentioned there. They came on top of a buffalo to fight, right? Some of them on top of the bulls. So, even the fighting is happening in the land. And it says the whales have come to fight. Whales live in the water. And they had come to fight. And when you read all these things, you start thinking, what kind of war is this? The whales don't come to the land, do they? Whales are in the ocean. But they come to the land to fight, right? The capacity is that they could change the form from whale's body to another body, whatever they wanted. This kind of yoga siddhis were possible for all those who participated in the war. This is the difference, right? Many, many forms they have accepted. Some of them accepted the form, who changed the forms very easily, and the demons took advantage of that. You will see in the 11th verse, what does it say? Shiva bhirahubi kejil kukalase shashair narayir. Bastai rege krishna sare hamsai anyeja sukare. In that 10th chapter, 11th verse. Imagine what all the things, who are all participated, he says here. Some of them came on top of the, that sukare. Sukare means the hog on top of them. Then foxes, rats, on top of the rats they came to fight. You may wonder how that is possible, isn't it? Because that's all we know. We think, read Bhagavatam and we read Puranam in our way, with our already conditioned mind. And we also know that Ganesha sits on top of a rat, that's his vehicle, isn't it? He travels on that. So, is that possible? Yes, it is possible. Because if Krishna wants, all these things are possible. Everything is possible. In the churning of the milk ocean, 990 million demigods and demons participated. And you will see there, they couldn't lift the Mandara mountain. Who carried that? Garuda carried the Mandara mountain. Garuda carried the whole Mandara mountain, which Asuras and the Devas, they tried to lift, they couldn't. But Garuda managed to carry the whole mountain, and he flew with this mountain from a distance and brought all the way to the milk ocean, to churn, right? And Garuda didn't feel it difficult at all. So again problem, we'll start thinking, Garuda is only a bird. In our perception, the size of the bird is small, and how much can Garuda carry, isn't it? You have to remember, Garuda carries Krishna. And Krishna carries the whole creation. So these things, we have to understand that what Krishna can do, we won't understand. In our mind, time, space, weight, all these things are very strongly imbibed in us. We think that it cannot change. Krishna can change everything. Krishna can change everything. So, when Garuda carried the Mandara mountain, Garuda felt as though he was carrying some little grass on top. That's how much he felt, right? So, because normally he carries Krishna, the highest of all the weights, isn't it? So, he says there, Shiva Kiradvi Kejil Kukalasai Shashair Narei Bastai Regei Krishna Sarer Hamsai Ranyaija Sukarehi. Right. Then Kukalasa means the lizard. The lizard. And can you imagine going to fight a war on top of a lizard? Right? So, lizard normally on the ground it runs on the floor, ground, isn't it? So, Shashair, rabbits, on top of the rabbits. And rabbits keep jumping, isn't it? So, and some of them came directly to fight without any vehicles like that. Then, Anni stala jalagahi, sattvair vigrada vigrahehi, senayor bhayurajin, vivishuste agrado agradaha. Then some of them came on top of the bestai, sair egei. Sapta means the goat. And Krishnasaram means the deer. Krishnasaram is deer. The deer skin is necessary for all purificatory ceremonies. You wear the deer skin for that. Then, and for brahmachari, uniform is deer skin. If you look into Vamanavadaram, Vamanamurti wore deer skin. Not in the modern. Modern, nicely ironed, beautiful, what do you call, the saffron. Saffron, but very nicely done, everything. Not like that. Krishnamurgam. Brahmachari's actual dress, if you want to understand what a proper Brahmachari means, look at Vamanadeva, Vamanamurti. He is a Brahmachari. Ideal Brahmachari from the Vedic point of view. He is ideal. These are modern innovations, you can say, in the modern way how things have changed over years. But traditionally brahmacharis wore deer skin. And they came on top of that deer to fight the war. Some of them came on the swan. Normally Brahma travels on the swan, isn't it? So, and in this way different animals and birds, they were the vehicles for transport of the demons for fighting the war, right? Sugarei is a hog, right? And hog is a very low animal because of its habits, isn't it? But they are concerned, higher and lower doesn't exist for them, as far as Krishna is concerned also. Anye jalasthalakhagai Sattvayar vigrada vigrahaihi senayor ubhayo rajan vivishuste agrado agradaha. Right. That means those who live in the land and those who live in the water. Like the whale that lives in the water. Right. And deer, the rabbits, all of them lives in the land. Not only that, they came on top of various birds. They came on top of that. Right. So, one side they have the demigods and the other side there is the demons. So, here all this is referring to the demons who came to fight the war, Asura Sena, right? And they wanted to engage in a very fierce fighting. Anye jalasthalakagai sattvair vigrada vigrahaihi senayor ubhayo rajan vivishuste agrado agradaha. That all they came and stood facing each other, and then he says there, chitra dvajapade. These are all unusual things in a war. Nobody does all these things in a modern war, isn't it? Modern war is, the whole thing is focused on destroying the other side, no other thing involved. Whereas from the Vedam says that you shouldn't do that. Destroying others totally is not your goal. Because enmity towards another person is coming from the bodily identity. That we must remember. That why do we feel inimical towards someone? Because we identify with the body strongly. It is only for that reason. But these demigods and demons, they knew very well that they are not the body. But in realization, they wouldn't go down to such levels to kill other sides. Because killing the body does not solve the problem. Even if you kill someone with a demoniac nature, that person can come back in another body with all the demoniac vasanas again. Actually, you cannot kill anyone in that sense. So this realization is stronger in them. Therefore, they followed dharmam even during the fighting. This was their underlying principle, that dharmam to be followed under all circumstances. So here you can see that in their dealings also. Even while fighting, dharmam has a importance like that. Many, many things we have fallen away from Vedic culture to such an extent due to increase in the bodily identity. Just like you can see, modern days people write their biography, autobiography and all that, isn't it? This is quite common nowadays. If you don't write, you will be blamed. Why you are not written? Rishis never believed in this. They thought, what are you writing the history about the body? This is their question. When you have no identity, because they knew that, they completely stayed away from writing about themselves. For this reason only. Because they came in a particular body for a short period of time, to write the history of that body is not important as far as they are concerned. So therefore, you don't get any information about any of the rishis. Vedavyasa Maharshi, Shukabra Maharshi, Maitreya Maharshi, and all others, you can't get any information because they never wrote about themselves anything. You can see the huge difference in their way of thinking and our way of thinking today. We like to know, tell the world how important we are. We have come here in a particular body and gone from here after some time. And we have to put our mark here, stamp our presence here strongly. Therefore, it has become a common practice in the modern society to write about themselves or make others to write about you. This is all madness. This is not Vedic culture. This is something else. Vedic culture says, rishis who gave us this understanding that you don't talk about yourself, it's not important because this body is temporary. What's the history to write about this body? So much. When they are situated on the platform of the soul, they never gave importance to the bodily identification. To identify with the body itself is the first ajnanam, isn't it? The tamas, moham, mahamoham, tamisram, mandhadamisram. The five kinds of ignorance when creation happened. The first ignorance is this, that I lost that identity, I am spirit soul. There itself the ignorance has started. And the second ignorance is that I started identifying with the body. And we are still writing about the history of this body and taking pressure from that. So we have to know how the rishis think about these things. Their understanding is perfect because they come from the point that body is concerned, that's temporary, that is no importance. Their spirit is a permanent thing, the soul, alma. In the realized state, that Brahman realization is so strong in them, they never accepted this bodily identity as a reality. They rejected it completely. And therefore, they have not written anything about themselves, nor did they want anybody else to write about them. It's not important for them. So, it is from that point that here also you can see, when they went to fight the war, what did they say? You will see these two verses, 13 and 14. Chitra dvajabadai rajan abadatrai sidamali. Mahadhanir Vajradandir Vajanir Barhachamari Vado Dudotaroshnishai Archibir Varmabhushanehi Spiratbir Vishade Shastrai Sudaram Surya Rishmi Vivi. He is saying there that they went with flags to fight the war, and also on top of the elephants they had this big chamar for fanning there, things like that. And great personalities are coming like this to fight the war, to fight in the war. So, and they came like this even when they came for the fighting the war. You don't go to fight the war nicely dressed and in the modern ways, I'm saying, you don't go to fight a war nicely dressed, do you? You go there they develop all kinds of things, isn't it, to not to identify in the war. So, but here he is saying there, the asuras also, they are also mahalmas, they have come, right? So, when they are coming, because they are mahalmas, Shuka Brahma, she has glorified them in a big way, about them. And they were wearing beautiful clothes, and they were holding umbrellas. You go to a war to fight with umbrellas in the hand. Right. So, and they looked very beautiful, the way they were dressed, and they were come to fight, right? So one side, the demons, and the other side, the demigods. Deva Dhanava Viranam, 15th verse. Dvajinyo Pandunandana Rejadur Viramalabhir Yadasam Iva Sagarav. It says that just like two oceans, one side the Asura Samudram, Asura oceans, and the other side the demigod's ocean. Looks like an ocean of people coming there to fight. In the 10th canto you will find Sainya Sagaram, it's mentioned there, right? So, Pandava Sainya Sagaram, Kaurava Sainya Sagaram, Mahabharata war, it says, right? And it said, Parikshit Maharaj mentioned that in the 10th canto, that my grandparents, they crossed over that Sainya Sagaram without any difficulty, he said. Isn't it? If you look into the 10th canto, there is a Sainya Sagaram. King says that. Parikshit is saying that. 5th verse, 1st chapter. Pidamaho mahame samare amaranjayer deva vradadhyadi radaistimingalai durateyam kaurava sainya sagaram krutvagaran valsavadam smayal plavaha durateyam kaurava sainya sagaram, it says. Similarly here also. Here also in the same way it is spoken. But we managed to fight that war, Mahabharata war, they are saying like that, because my grandparents have taken complete shelter of Krishna. Therefore, that Bhishma, Drona, similarly Duryodhana and others, when their army came, that Pandavas were able to fight them and win the war. Why? Narayana Padashraya. Because they took Krishna's shelter, right? Krishna, as you know the story, that he handed over his army to the Kauravas. When Duryodhana and Arjuna came together asking for Krishna's support and help, that Duryodhana came first. When he came in, Krishna acted as though he is sleeping. He was sleeping. He acted as though he was sleeping. Duryodhana came in and saw Krishna sleeping. And there was chairs there. He didn't sit on the chair. There was a throne there. He went and sat on the throne near Krishna's, near the head. Right. And Krishna deliberately kept sleeping without opening the eyes. And then Arjuna came. Arjuna came and sat near the Krishna's feet on a chair. So when Krishna opened the eyes, first he saw Arjuna there. So Krishna says to Arjuna, you had come. And first he saw him. And as though he didn't know anything, Krishna says to Arjuna, when did you come? He says to Arjuna, right? He says to him, I have come for your help. What help you want? Krishna says to Arjuna. So, as a matter of respect, Arjuna sends that Duryodhana had also come for the same. So he says to Krishna that Duryodhana had come. Duryodhana is elder brother. He had come. He said, Duryodhana, you had come as well. Krishna turned around at that time. As though he didn't know that Duryodhana was there, right? The way Krishna says that, oh, Maharaja was come. He says, the king himself had come, he said. And he says to him, what is required is both of you should work together and not to fight each other. Krishna is saying to them. In the Mahabharata, you will read all these things. Right. So Duryodhana says, I have not come for that, he said. I want to fight, he said. Krishna wanted him to say this. So he says to him, that best thing is that you work together, cooperate each other. After all, you are all brothers, isn't it? So Duryodhana says, I have not come to discuss that, he said. I have come to fight, he said. And I need your help, he said to him, in a very rude tone. So both of them have asked for help. Krishna says, I can give the army to one side and I can come on the other side. Whichever way you can choose that, he said. So, whoever takes the army, they can have it. I'll stay on the opposite side. That was Krishna's offer. So, Duryodhana asked Krishna, would you be taking weapons? Krishna said, no. What do I need the weapons for? He said, weapons, army, everything you can have it if you want, he said. Then Duryodhana saw that weapon and the armies, everything he is giving, best choice is that rather than having Krishna. So he took that option. Arjuna was also happy because Arjuna said to Krishna, I only want you, nothing else. That's enough for me. Right. So that is how that issue was settled and they both went back. Both Arjuna and Duryodhana. Right. So here again you can see Narayana Padashraya. What they were talking about before. The demigods also did the same thing. Narayana Padashraya. And so that shelter, taking shelter, Krishna shelter, is so important that you will see the success of the demigods, and later on the success of the demons is only due to this, Narayana Padashraya. Whether you are a demigod or a demon doesn't matter. Have you taken shelter? That matters. Surrendering to Krishna is more important than any other success in this world. Because Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shri Vijayam, Dhruvo Nidhar Madhur Mama. This is what that talking about. The surrender, where there is surrender to Krishna, there is success. There is success. So, Pandunandana. So, in this way, Parishit Maharaj is recognizing this. That my grandparents, that's the Pandavas, have won the war, not because of they were very powerful, but because they took Krishna shelter. Again, stressing that point, you will see this throughout the milk ocean churning, this point coming up again and again. Stressing that, to get this point across to us, Harismriti, Sarva Vibad Vimokshanam. When there is difficulty, the only shelter is Krishna. To come to that understanding. Harim Sharanamayayu, earlier. In Gajendra Moksham Studi also you will see this. So, similarly, look at Parikshit's position, that he has been cursed by the Brahmana boy, Sringi, and still he had got the good fortune to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam at the time of leaving this body. That good fortune, that is why he is addressed as Garbha Sriman. It means in the womb itself, one who was able to see Krishna. In the Garbha, in pregnancy, while in pregnancy, he saw Krishna. So Parikshit has received that mercy way before. Even when before he was born, he has received Krishna's mercy. Right? So, and the leader of the demons is Mahabali. The leader of the demons is Mahabali. And in the next many verses is spoken about Mahabali's arrival for the war. How he has come prepared for that. That's the 16th verse. Vairochano balisanghi so asuranam chamopati yanam vaihayasam mama kamagam maya nirmidam Yanam Vaihayasam Nama Kamagam Maya Nirminam. He's saying there that Maya built a plane for him. For who? For Mahabali, right? And that plane is capable for anything you want. You can do with that plane, right? You will see this Kamagam. See that word used there? Kamagam. A similar plane was made for Kardava Prajavati and Devahuti Devi. The same word they have used there in the third canto. If you look in the third canto in the 23rd chapter, you'll find. And again, people think that, oh, can a plane exist like that? Isn't it? We get, because we have only seen these planes, Dreamliners, and that's all what we know about the planes. We cannot believe that. When Kardama Prajapati said to Krishna that Krishna asked him to enter into household and life, Kardama Prajapati had no wealth. Kardama Prajapati says to Krishna, how can I have a householder life? I have no money. I have no place to live. Living underneath the tree in the forest and 24 hours busy with spiritual life, what householder life can he have? And Krishna says to him, don't worry, you will have a very good wife who will come. The daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, Devahuti Devi, will come. Parents will bring her here and she will marry you. So Kardama Prajapati got more confused. The princess is coming to marry him, and here he lives here underneath the tree without not even a roof over the head. So at that time Krishna says to him, no, don't worry about that. I will send you a plane for you to have your householder life. Our householder life work like an ass from age 20 to 60, 40 years to get a roof over the head. And for Kardama Prajapati, the house was sent from Vaikuntham. Krishna sent the airplane for him. That one is also called Kamagam. Kamagam means fulfilling all desires. So somehow or the other, we all have got this concept in our head, strongly imbibed in us. Only by working hard you can survive. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. There are many places in the Bhagavatam to prove to us. Take for example, Satrajit. Satrajit was a very poor person. He had no wealth. He comes from a very poor family. All around him in Dwaraka were very wealthy people. So Satrajit thought, why shouldn't I have some money like that? Why shouldn't I have some money like that? So when he thought like that, he did not think about making money in the wrong way. Dharmam he still kept. He was a Yadava and he still stayed in Dharmam. And that is why he decided, I will go and please the sun god. And so he learned the Surya Vasana, how to worship sun god. He learned all the process and then strictly executed that. The result was that the sun god appeared and gave him the Samantaka jewel. And with that one jewel, how much wealth he acquired from that. Every day it used to give over 8 kilos of gold. Every single day was given to him. And with that Satrajit became very wealthy. So wealthy that nobody could believe that poor Satrajit has become such a rich person. And then what happened? Satrajit later, when he became so wealthy, naturally in the society you get recognition, isn't it? That's when you become a VIP. When you go, you get a special garland, special Mahaprasadam, and everything special for you. So he goes there. Krishna sensed that this wealth is going to cause problem for this poor fellow. He was happy and peaceful before. Now all this wealth has come. So he said to Satrajit, Satrajit, why do you want to take this? You have enough to live on. Donate that jewel to the treasury. Give it to the treasury. Let people get the benefit from that. So Satrajit thought Krishna is trying to steal it from him. Krishna had no such intention. Krishna only knew that Satrajit is going to suffer due to this wealth and due to that Samantaka jewel. Knowing this, he asked Satrajit, indicated to him, if you hand over that jewel to the treasury, people will get benefit from that. What is the money for? If the people can't get benefit from that, when we came here also, we came with nothing. When we leave this place, we leave with nothing. Actually, the whole wealth belongs to Krishna. Krishna gives you something to live here. And naturally you have a responsibility to pay back to Krishna for what he has given. So anyway, Satrajit did not agree, went away with the seventh jewel. What happened after that? You know the story. Because of the jewel, quarrel happened. Ultimately, Satrajit was killed, his brother was killed, and the daughter became in a situation that ultimately she managed to marry Krishna and escape from the misery. So how much distress that Satrajit had, due to, again Bhagavatam is pointing out to us, do not give too much importance to wealth in life. It will end up in all kinds of problems. So in the same here, that Kamagam, we are talking about Kadama Prajapati's case, Kadama Prajapati had that, it can turn itself into aeroplane, into a chariot, into a ship, into a helicopter, whatever way you want to fly or move around in that way. So that is the Sarvakala Sukha Vaha, Bhagavatam says about this. Kamaga, what it says here? Kamagam Maya Narmidam. Maya is one of the most powerful personality who can create vehicles with Maya. It's all illusion at the end. And in that illusion, he says here that Sarvakala Sukha Vaha. What does that mean? Air conditioned. Fully air conditioned. Not only part of it, fully air-conditioned, right? So, you don't have, and similarly, the rooms are air-conditioned, and also controlled temperature. And what else is there? When it came, there were shopping centers, shopping malls inside the aeroplane. Plenty of clothes you could choose. Kardama Prajapati didn't have anything. He was living in the forest. Probably he had one dhoti, but in the pictures they show morely like with one kaupinam only. He is executing his spiritual life like that, right? But here, not only Kardama Prajapati, Devahuti obviously needs more clothes, isn't it? All what Devahuti wants, they were all available in that aeroplane which came there, right? And similarly for bathing, huge lakes in the plane to bathe with lotus flowers, everything. And similarly, plenty of jewelry to wear. And what else he did? 9 stories in that aeroplane. This aeroplane had 9 stories. And it was traveling not only through this atmosphere, but even through the heavenly planets. Nandanam, Chaitra Ratham, all those places. Right? So, Kardama Prajapati realized that he had to expand himself into 9 different forms. He expanded to enjoy with Devahuti. So in this way, even demigods could not imagine the level of sense gratification what Kardama Prajapati had with Devahuti Devi. So similarly, Mahabali arrived here with a huge palace to fight the war. You will see that in the 16th one. Vairochano Veli Sange Sosuranam Chamupadi Yanam Vaihayasam nama kamagam maya nirmidam. That is why all these things are spoken. Yanam vaihayasam nama kamagam maya nirmidam. Maya has built it for Mahabali. Maya built that for Mahabali. Maya has done many wonderful things like this. You will see that. So, so Mahabali is the king or the leader. Mahabali's father is Virochana. Right? And to showing to us the power of that family, tradition and background, right? Prahlada's son is Virochana and Hiranyakashipu's son is Prahlada. That means Hiranyakashipu, his son Prahlada, and Prahlada's son Virochana, Virochana's son is Mahabali, right? And where did they all come from? Kashyapa Prajapati. Kashyapa has Aditi and Didi. Kashyapa had from Didi Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's son is Prahlada. Prahlada's one is Virochana. Virochana's son is Mahabali. So Krishna said this, your tradition, he says, what can I say about it? Right? So this Virochana is also very well known. He is such a personality that when the demigods asked for his lifespan, he said, you can have it. They were able to exchange their lifespan equally. One could hand over his lifespan to another person. I've got so much life, you can pass it on to somebody else. right? Such a great personality was this Virochana, right? And that Virochana, and then we have got this Mahabali, and Maya's vehicle, what he has given, he has come on that. Sarva sangraho miko poetam, sarva ashcharyamayam prabho, abadarkyam anirdeshyam, drishyamanam adarshanam. Sarva sangramigo vedam, sarva ashcharyamayam prabho, abadarkyam anirdeshyam, drishyamanam adarshanam. Then, his chariot, right? All the weapons required for the war is there, packed in the chariot. Everything is kept there. And one cannot even imagine the capability of that chariot, what it could do, right? And even with you, in your dreams you can think about it. Even it's beyond than that, right? And he comes. What else? Sometimes you can see the chariot, sometimes you can't see. It can disappear from your vision. Maya's power, how he was manipulating the Maya. Maya, he could manipulate the Maya. All these techniques he had. Nowadays we can do everything with matter only, isn't it? We've got radars, and they have developed systems by not to be detected by the radar. But again, everything is based on the matter. But the yogic power, how they have used, not to reveal themselves, and sometimes he will appear, sometimes he won't appear. You won't see him. Neither the chariot nor Mahabali. In the same way, when Salua fought with Krishna, he did the same thing, exactly. So what it says is that drishyamanam, sometimes you can see the chariot, Mahabali, sometimes you can't. And same way about Krishna also, in the same way it is spoken that in several places it says Krishna has no form, and several places it says Krishna has a form. Krishna has a form, right? So, and devotees talk about Krishna, the form of Krishna. And there is also another side of Krishna, which is, that's why impersonal form and impersonal side and personal side exist simultaneously for Krishna also. You can't write off either things. Both exist. Right. So, when it is in the impersonal form, we can't talk about Krishna. How will you explain in the impersonal side? But the personal side, you can talk about Krishna, you can talk to Krishna, you can surrender to Krishna, you can glorify Krishna, everything you can do when there is a form. And earlier in that verse, in the 10th canto says, Valsan munjan kujida samaye krosha sanjada hasa. So, when Krishna's pastimes are spoken, it is impossible to talk about it because Krishna was present in the Yashoda Devi. Pastimes were going on in the Gopi's house. So who is Krishna? There were pastimes going on in the Gopi's house, and Krishna was present with Yashoda Devi, with the mother. So impossible to understand Krishna, where he is present, where he is not present, and impossible for those of us who are in the bodily identity. We will not understand Krishna's position, right? So, Kamaga, Vaihayasam, two words used there. The name of the plane is Vaihayasam. Kamaga means fulfills all your desires. Whatever you want, that it's capable of fulfilling that. Never a plane has been built like that before. And like Mahabali arrives with all his commanders in that aeroplane to fight. Right? It appeared as though the Supreme Lord himself has come that way. Mahabali is a position. Right? But what is the difference? Difference is this. When Mahabali comes, he comes with all the demons together, non-devotees. When Krishna comes, He comes with all the devotees, like Uddhava, Prahlada, all of them, right? So here Mahabali comes with all his commanders, who are all they? Kalanemi, Viprachiti, Namula, those all mentioned there. And when they arrive there, that means basically what you have to think that there is a Mahabali demon also inside, and his commanders are Kamam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Matsaryam. These are all the army commanders of the commander inside. So Mahabali is in that mood, and immediately after this war, within a few days, Mahabali became the greatest devotee. Now he is presented here as the biggest demon. In a few days, the whole thing changed, and he became the greatest devotee. Not only greatest devotee, among the 12 Mahajans, him and Prahlada got a place. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kabilo, Manu, Prahlado, Janago, Bhishmo, Bali. Prahlada and Bali became the best of the devotees. So this devotee demon depends on how our inside is. If inside changes, today it can be a demon, tomorrow it can be a devotee. Body doesn't matter. We think that somebody is permanently a demon and somebody is permanently a devotee. It's not so. That's what it is indicating. That Mahabali, in this chapter, he is the biggest demon. And all his associates, friends who had come with him to fight the war, they were all powerful demons. And they had come and fought the war. And right after this, in two chapters, he becomes the greatest devotee, with whom Krishna was so pleased with him. Krishna says to him, I will stand outside as your gatekeeper to Mahabali. Krishna says this. So see how things change in life. Right? Why did this happen? Because at this point in time, his situation is not very strong, Mahabali. But as soon as he succeeded in pleasing his spiritual master, Shukracharya, when Shukracharya was pleased, the whole thing turned opposite, completely different, right? So, right at this moment, his mood is demoniac. Who? Mahabali's mood, right? And to turn it upside down like this, it's not so easy. Like the way Mahabali is changed, we know very well that how it is, isn't it? Inside us, when the demoniac nature is pushing us strongly, to change from that demoniac nature to the devotee nature, that takes time for all of us. This Devasura Sangramam, demigod and demon, is nothing but a representation of the battle that's going on inside every one of us. Right? So, when situation became favorable, Mahabali took full advantage of that. That when he came back after the war, he says to Shukracharya, why did this happen to me? Shukracharya's answer was that you should know this, how it happens, he said. Indra pleased Brihaspati, and this is the result. Shukracharya said, don't I have a spiritual master? Yes, he said, I am that Shukracharya. So what should I do to please you? Shukracharya says to Indra, perform sacrifices. And that is why 99 Ashwamedham was performed, and at the end, and Mahabali did it so well and pleased the Shukracharya that Krishna appeared as Vamanamurti in front of him. Right? So, what it is pointing at is, if you stay in the path of dharmam, success will come, and that success will stay. But if you remain in the path of adharmam, under any circumstances, even if you get some little success, it won't stay. To indicate that, the stories are spoken in this particular way, to tell us that. So, he performed the sacrifice, Amlana Pushpam Jalajanja Shukraha. It says that Brahmanas came and blessed Mahabali. Shukracharya gave him a conch shell, and before he could complete the sacrifice, Shukracharya told him, "You can go now to the heavenly planets. Even there may not be any necessity to fight a war." And when Mahabali went to the heavenly planets, before he left, he offered his obeisances to Prahlada. And Prahlada blessed him with both the hands, putting his hands on Mahabali. And if Prahlada blesses someone, what does that mean? It's as good as Narasimha's blessings, isn't it? Narasimha has blessed Prahlada. So if Prahlada puts hands on someone and blesses them, that means you have practically Narasimha's blessings. And when Mahabali went to the heavenly planets to attack the demigods, demigods knew that time is not in their favor. They ran away from there. And Mahabali was not attracted to the sense enjoyment in the heavenly planets. There's a lot of nice things spoken about Mahabali. We think Mahabali is a demon. But Mahabali's character, the Kshatriya nature in him, is glorified in the Bhagavatam. Even though he went to the heavenly planets, he received all the comforts of heavenly planets, Mahabali was not attracted by any of that. That's the... Therefore Krishna says, among the Brahmanas, I am Mahabali. In the Ekadasi Skandam you will find, for Krishna couldn't find any better Brahmana than Mahabali. Brahmanyanam belistvam. That Brahmanical nature in Mahabali, what does that mean? Not attached to anything. Nisangatvam. No sangam anywhere. Even though you have all the wealth, no attachment anywhere. That's Mahabali. Mahabali, whereas ordinary people, when they get an opportunity for sense gratification, what will they do? They will celebrate it, isn't it? To the maximum. Mahabali was not like that. Mahabali was detached all the time. So, and later on you will see Prahlada and Mahabali coming up to that position. And so everything was against Mahabali in the beginning. He turned the whole thing as favorable later. So, when everything becomes favorable, that is when you get closer to Krishna. When everything becomes favorable to you. But when everything inside is against you, then to get closer to Krishna is very difficult. You're fighting the battle all the time. But when everything becomes favorable inside, that means our mind, our intelligence, and freedom from the false ego, everything in the subtle body becomes favorable, you get closer to Krishna. So how to make it closer and make it favorable? You will see this in the breaking the prarabdham. That's what that means. Vinayagani bhagamurdhasu prabho. You will see this in the Garbhastuti. Lord Brahma saying this. Vinayagani bhagamurdhasu prabho. It says. Vinayaga means these are all our in the subtle body. Our chittam, which carries all the vasanas and memory of the previous life, and all the prarabdham, everything, plus our mind, intelligence, and freedom from the ahankaram, all these things, when they become favorable, only at that time we get closer to Krishna. Otherwise, not possible. Right? So, vinayagani bhagam urdhasu prabho. That means one should be able to put the feet on top of that prarabdham and walk through that. So, and for that to happen, first of all, one has to go through a lot of misery in life, suffering in life. From that suffering only, we will become more purified from that. From there. So, you'll see, asti dastodimanagyam sarvani gadivayanuvrata Valavya Janajatragre Reje Chandravivodaye. 18th verse. Astidastad Vimanagrim Sarvani Gadibair Vrata Valavya Janajatragre Reje Chandravivodaye. Mahabali's arrival, right? Normally all these things are spoken when Krishna arrives. Whatever that is spoken there, so many things, right? Special umbrellas, charmer, army commanders. But here, for Mahabali it is spoken. Basically, Mahabali's mood is, I am also a great personality. And in the morning, when you see the moon surrounded with the stars, in the same way, the important personality among the demons, he had come. The next 3-4 verses, you can talk about the same thing. Tasyasan sarvadoyaner yudhanam padayosuraha namuji. These are our personalities who are with Mahabali. Namuji, shambara, bana, viprajiti, ayomukha. Dimurdha, kalanabhoda, prahedirilala, illula. Shagunir, buddha santabo, vajra dramstro, virochana. Hayagriva, shangushira, kabilo, megadundubi. Tarangas Chakradak Shumbo, Nishumbo, Jamba Utkala. Aristo, Arista Nemisha, Mayascha, Tribiradhiva, Anni, Pauloma Kaleya, Nivata Kavajadeya, Alabdhavaga, Somasya, Kevalam Klesha Bhagina, Sarva Edi Ranamukhe, Bhusho, Nurjidamara. So you can see that people's name mentioned there, the demons, the big ones. Many of them had come in Krishnavadaram. Even in that battle, they were killed, they didn't get liberated, because Krishna wanted that they should. Basically, it was a recruitment center for the Krishnavadaram. This churning of milk ocean was a recruitment place for Krishnavadaram. Many people who have participated in that battle, they got the opportunity to come in the Krishna's appearance and get killed by Krishna, and they all go back to the spiritual world at the end. So, demigods have got the nectar. Demons didn't get the nectar. Right? And in the same way, demigods got free from their old age, recovered from their problems. They got the recovery. The demons, they didn't have the nectar. What it is also pointing at is that Srimad Bhagavatam, those is like a nectar. Those who hear Bhagavatam and those who are reading Bhagavatam seriously, and gradually they will find a great happiness from that, from Srimad Bhagavatam. That takes time, but eventually Krishna will give the taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, and which is very subtle, and it does take time. And when that happens, you will find it difficult to give up Bhagavatam, the attraction for Bhagavatam. And Krishna removes that initial resistance, what you feel when you take to Srimad Bhagavatam. Initially people have a lot of resistance while reading Bhagavatam. They'll think that, oh, Bhagavatam is not so interesting. So many things we don't understand, and so many things looks very difficult to digest. And with our conditioned mind, that's how we come to Bhagavatam. Whereas Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he talks about Bhagavatam himself, he says, Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatakyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi, he says. It's not different from Krishna. So if it is, we don't find a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't have to blame anybody else. It's our own lack of purity inside. That is why we find it difficult to relish Bhagavatam. To relish Bhagavatam. Right. So, and one of the reasons is that we are not willing to take shelter of Krishna. We want to keep our independence all the time, and therefore Krishna also, we are a little bit reserved on our side. Krishna also has the same reservation from his side. So Krishna gives that difficulty to those who have that resistance inside. So Krishna has got both sides. If you look into the fifth canto, it's spoken in a different way, right? If you look into the fifth canto, in the 17th chapter, it says, in the 17th chapter, 18th verse, Bhaje bhajanyarana padapangajam bhagasya krishnasya paramparayanam bhakteshu alambhavida bhudabhavanam bhavavaham tuam bhavabhavam ishwaram. It says, Bhaje bhajanyarana padapangajam bhagasya krishnasya paramparayanam bhakteshu alambhavida bhudabhavanam bhavavaham tuam bhavabhavam ishwaram. Where in that Ganga's appearance, Gangadevi's appearance is discussed in that chapter, he says that for devotees Krishna will reveal himself. Those who have got surrender, bhakti in the heart, to them Krishna reveals himself, right? And Krishna will make their life easy. They won't have to suffer from this material world. But those who do not surrender, they will find it difficult. It will be a battle for them whole life. Material existence. Right? And for them, that accepting Krishna is always difficult. Because in their mind, that surrender hasn't happened. They are not willing to surrender. That is our all problems. This why bhakti means what? We talk about bhakti all the time. Bhakti, bhakti. What does bhakti mean? Bhakti means surrender. Sharanagati. You will see Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote one whole book called Sharanagati. If you read that book, you will find Bhaktivinoda saying this just before he left his body. That's when he says that. One day we should read that few chapters, what he says about that. What does Sharanagati mean? Sharanagati is not a joining an institution. Sharanagati is not external. Sharanagati is very much an internal process. And in that Sharanagati, he says what all he did in his life, early life, in ignorance. Bhaktivinoda is saying this. What all he did in his early life in ignorance. And at the old age, before leaving the body, he says, time is very little time left for me. And now I come to take your shelter. How can I expect any help from you when the whole life I have ignored you? This is how he prayed to Krishna. But in a heart-rending way, in a heart-breaking way, he has spoken about it before his death. So if you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur Sharanagati, you will understand what Sharanagati means. What Sharanagati means. So anyway, he says here that bhavabhavam ishwaram. Bhava means going through the cycle of birth and death. That is bhavam. So bhavam also is another name of Lord Shiva. So, bhavabhavam ishwaram. Lord Shiva worships Krishna. So, take his shelter. Lord Shiva is advising this. Take his shelter. And he will remove this situation, change this situation. And Lord Shiva is saying there that one who does not want to take that approach, Krishna gives bhavadukham. That means the cycle of birth and death. That's given to him. And he is my own Lord, Shiva says there. Among the devotees, Krishna's devotees, one of the topmost devotees is Shiva himself, isn't it? And he's not an ordinary person, in the sense, very higher level of knowledge and realization Lord Shiva has. You will see in the second canto, when Shiva Brahmarshi told Parikshit, for various things you should approach different demigods, he says there, isn't it? And for beauty you should worship the Gandharvas. For good marriage you should worship Sri Parvati. Several names are spoken there of the demigods whom you should worship. There it says, Vidya Kamastu Girisham. Sri Parvati's husband is Lord Shiva. If you want knowledge, you should approach Lord Shiva. He is the one who gives transcendental knowledge. Vidya Kamastu Girisham. Shiva Brahmarshi says that, right? So, in several places, Dakshinamurti is spoken for that. Gurave Sarva Loganam Dakshinamurte Nama. Dakshinamurti's position is like that. He is teaching Srinarada Maharshi, four Kumaras, and many Vasishta and many Rishis. They are all sitting in front of him and getting instructed on the knowledge of the soul. They are being taught by him. That is that Dakshinamurti appearance of Shiva is purely for not killing any demons, but to deliver them from ignorance. Vidya Kamastu Girisham, it says. So, now the question is, we have to understand this properly. Why? Vidya means what? We may think Vidya means all the what we learn from the universities, and no, that's not the Vidya we are talking about. Right? Vidya from the spiritual side is Vedam. Vedam means knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul. What a soul is, isn't it? So, understand Vedam properly means to understand the science of the soul. So, what does Vedam say? If you look into the first six canto, Vedam is not different from Krishna. Vedo Narayana Sakshat. Ajamila story you will find there, right? So, knowing Krishna properly knowing Krishna, right? So, and that is knowledge. Shastram says that knowing Krishna is knowledge, not everything else what we learn from the world outside, right? So, you will see that proper knowledge, there is not many people who can give that knowledge, isn't it? Adhyalpa Vidya, knowledge of the soul of self-realization, right? And those teachers who are not able to give the proper knowledge, they are not even considered as teachers in the Bhagavatam. In the same 8th canon it will say, who says this? Satyavrata. King Satyavrata will say this. So, when you have to look at it a little carefully, only then you will pick up all this understanding from the Bhagavatam. That Shukracharya is presented before us. And we are thinking about Shukracharya something. And it is this Shukracharya who took Mahabali and brought him in front of Vamanamurti. And brought him back to Krishna. Right. So, proper spiritual master has to be like Shukracharya. Only that spiritual master who is able to take you back to Krishna is a spiritual master as far as Shastram is concerned. Right. So, who is that spiritual master? Like the way it is defined in the 5th canto. Gurur na sasyal, sujano na sasyal, pidana na sasyal, janani na sasyal, namo jayadya samubheda mrityum. Right? Proper spiritual master, father, mother, is that person who completely removes that ignorance in us. That I am this body. That's my ignorance. How do I get rid of this? That's the duty of the spiritual master. One who is able to get rid of that from us once for all, he is the spiritual master. Otherwise not. You see, in the Ekadasha Skandam, the same thing spoken. When Andariksha, Kavi Hari Andariksha and Prabuddha says that you should approach a spiritual master and say, Tasmal Guryam Prabhadyada Jinyasu Shrayam Uttamam Shabde Pareja Nishnadam Brahmani Upasham Ashrayam, it says there. And there are two things they have spoken. What are they? One thing is Shabde Pareja Nishnadam. He should be well learned in the Shastram. Very well learned in the Shastram. Why is it so important? Because only then a disciple who comes to him, a genuine disciple who comes to him, will be able to clear all his doubts through him by having an association with a teacher like that. That is why Shabde Pareja Nishnadam. And what else? Brahmani Upasham Ashrayam, it says. Brahmani Upasham Ashrayam means he should be self-realized. These two conditions. In our schools and colleges, you don't require all these qualifications. They are teaching. There are big scientists and big intellectually. If you have a lot of intelligence, that is sufficient to teach in the university, in the modern educational setup. If you have a lot of intelligence, and whereby you can concentrate on things seriously, and you got the intelligence to learn things properly, you can become a teacher in the modern system. But in the spiritual system, intelligence is not sufficient. That's the difficulty. Intelligence is not sufficient. By his life, one should be able to understand that whatever that is spoken in the Shastram, he lives that life in this world. That's why Shabde Parejanishnadam Brahmani Upashamashrayam, it says. So in the same way here, you can see that Satyavrata's story is spoken later on in this 8th canto, right? He says that real spiritual master is one who shows the disciple Krishna, who brings him to Krishna and shows him, here is Krishna, that way, right? So in the tenth canto, all the kings who were imprisoned by Jarasandha imprisoned them all, locked them up. And when they got released, after Jarasandha was killed, that these kings are saying, Jarasandha is our spiritual master. They are offering respects to Jarasandha. Why? Because they are saying, if Jarasandha has not locked us up like this, we would have never had the opportunity to see you like this. So you, Jarasandha is responsible for us coming in front of you like this. All the kings who were released from the prison by Krishna after Jarasandha was killed, right? So you will see that in the 73rd chapter, in the 10th canto, you can see how the kings spoke about that. Kings are saying that the king says, Vayampura, 12th verse, 73:12. Vayampura Shri Madanashta Drishtayoho Jigishayasa Idaretara Spradaha Granda Prajaswa Adinargrana Prabho Mrityam Virastva Aviganaya Durmadaha. He's saying that previously when we were kings, we had so much opulence. And due to that opulence, we became very proud. Kings, royal families, isn't it? They become very proud. Where is the royal family got time for spiritual life? Royal family is busy with their wealth and displaying the wealth and ruling the world, right? And rarely among the royal families, very, very few will have only those very, very, very rare personalities like Ambarish, like Parikshit, like Yudhishthira. Only a few will show that inclination for spiritual life. But they are special people. Otherwise, generally among the royal families, what's their life? Total sense gratification and enjoying the opulences. That's basically the Kshatram. So here he is saying there, previously due to our wealth, we were completely proud of ourselves and we were not even conscious, he is saying, of our existence. And due to, not only that, due to our enmity each other among the kings, they develop a lot of enmity each other. We were very ruthless and cruel to others. And we killed the people if it served our purpose. That's how we managed the kingdom.
Vayambura Srimada Nashtadrishtayoho Jigishayasya Idare Daraspradaha Granda Prajaswa Adinirghana Prabho Mrityum Buraswa Viganayadurmadaha.
So this is how they managed Srimada Nashtadrishti. We lost our eyesight. We were completely blind due to the opulence, right? And actually Jarasandha is not our enemy, because we were like that. So why blame him? We lived like that. And this situation can happen with wealth. We cannot become, it is difficult to surrender to Krishna when there is a lot of wealth in the hand. So, because when there is a lot of wealth, you won't see the things what you should see. You won't see that, right? And when there is a lot of wealth, what happens? The attraction for sense enjoyment will build up inside. You know that also in the 10th canto. The wealthiest man, Kuvera, his children, because of the wealth, the problem happened. Isn't it? Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. Because of excessive wealth, this is what it brings. So, and it made them intoxicated to such an extent. When they were bathing in that river in Mandakini, Sri Narada Maharshi comes that way. And they didn't care even to cover themselves. Fully naked, they are standing in the river, playing with the Apsaras woman there. And when Sri Narada Maharshi walked in, all the Apsaras women covered themselves. But Nalagavera and Manigriva thought, because of the effect of Aruni inside, they didn't care. They thought, who is this Narada Maharshi? These thoughts will come. The impact of that position of wealth and alcohol and everything together. So, can you imagine, friend of a rishi like Sri Narada Maharshi, fully intoxicated and enjoying with women in front of him. How would he seize that? Sri Narada Maharshi felt so compassion for them, because father is a devotee, Kubera is a devotee, Lord Shiva's famous devotee he is. He said, so, who is Vaishravana? Kubera is Vaishravana. And he is the treasurer of all the wealth, right? And nothing happened to him. He, even though he has so much wealth, he is always engaged in service, Lord Shiva's service, right? But children are gone like this. And Sri Narada Maharshi sensed that in this auspicious place in the river, in the bank, in the valleys of Kailasam, Mount Kailas, Lord Shiva's abode, this is the kind of activity they were performing, right? Narada Maharshi thought that how sad it is, right? And although they have come to this higher state, being the children of Vaishravana, and so much wealth, they've fallen to this state. Where he says there, Srimada Nashta Drishtaya, he says there. If you look into what Narada Maharshi had to say about them, if you look into the 10th canto, you will see in the 10th chapter what Sri Narada Maharshi had to say about them. That is an important thing. How rishis feel for those who are addicted to sense gratification. If you look into the 10th chapter, in the 10th canto, if you look into the verse 13, he says, Asadaha Shri Madhandasya, that Shri Madam. Shri Madam is this due to opulence, right? Madam, Ahangaram inside, right? Asadaha. For them, there is only one remedy. What is that? Daridriyam Paramanjanam. Next verse, you can see, next word. Daridriyam, make them poor. Only then they will learn. Otherwise they won't learn. When there is so much wealth and the wealth has affected you, then the remedy for that is poverty. Asada Srimadhandasya Daridriyam Paramanjanam Almavom Yena Bhudani Daridra Paramikshade, he says. Because
when our identification with the wealth happens, our identification with the body also becomes strong. And naturally, Atmavamyena Bhutani Daridra Paramekshane, they'll become offensive to all other living entities. This always happens throughout history. If you look, you will find as soon as an individual becomes wealthy, or a society becomes wealthy, or a country becomes wealthy, that arrogance will start flowing out. Want to control everybody else. Wants to dictate to others how they should live. And they'll start dictating to... They don't know these principles, how it works. The rishis are telling us, don't go down in that route, because you will get more bound by the material laws of nature. So that's what it is saying here also, that that this state can happen in this story, that Narada Maharshi says that to learn a lesson, best thing is you both become some two trees and stand there for some time and learn. There's no other way. So gave them that poverty, told them to stand like two trees, Nalakavera and Manigriva, Arjuna trees, right? You can see the trees suffer more from poverty than anybody else. If you look at different living entities, right? So for them, when in the sunny weather, when sun shines, hot sunshine, people go take under shelter of the tree. They have to give the shade to them, right? Then, even though they are suffering in the hot sun, they also suffer. Hot sun, rain, wind, everything bothers them also. It's not that they are not suffering. We think, oh, they are not suffering, only we are suffering. No, they also suffer. The trees also suffer. Their consciousness is not developed like us, but the suffering is there, right? But even though they have to suffer, they have to give, they have to help others. This is their situation. Even though they are suffering, they have to help others. That's how their existence. And they have to carry loads of fruits themselves. Loads of fruit. They can't eat one for themselves. A nice huge mango tree with full of beautiful ripe mangoes. The mango tree doesn't have one to eat. He has to hand over everything to others. This is their existence. Their existence. So, the people who pluck all the mangoes, they come and they take all the mangoes away. He has to stand there. That means, Daridryam Paramanjanam means that Krishna has put you in a situation that you become a servant of everybody. That's what happens. At one time, because of wealth, you became so proud and you wanted to control everybody. Isn't it? That verse it said before. That how the Srimadhandam, Srimada Drishti, Nashta Drishti, Srimada Nashta Drishti, you lost your vision and you become so proud and you wanted to control everyone. Now, the only remedy for that is Daridriyam Paramanjanam. That put you into such a situation that you completely become dependent on everybody else. And that body was given to them. That means like a tree, you stand there and you produce good fruits, give it to everything to others. And you can't have anything. You just tolerate everything and stay there. And that punishment, that's the punishment of the tree, was given to them, right? So, so there, and that is why when Nalakavera and Manigriva got back their body, their prayers, if you read, what did they say to Krishna? That by your mercy, we got back our body, isn't it? In the 10th chapter, where it says there, ten, 37.
You have to look at what Nalagavaran Manigriva had to say. He's saying, Anujanihi nau bhumam stavanujaragingarau darshanam nau bhagavada hrisher asil anugrahad. Anujanihi nau bhumam stavanujaragingarau darshanam nau bhagavada hrishe asil anugrahal. That they are saying to Krishna that your servant Sri Narada Maharshi and we are his students, right? Please bless us. Only because Narada Maharshi showed some compassion to us and he brought us back to senses. Previously, we misbehaved with Narada Maharshi, got drunk and fully naked and playing with the women in Kailasam, and when he came, we didn't offer any respects to him. So he felt compassion for us, seeing our condition, how degraded we are. And he showed his compassion to us by sending us here to take the form of these two trees and stand there. And now that you had come, if we were not here as the two trees, and if you hadn't come, we will never have had your darshan in our life. So that's what they are accepting. They are saying that, Anujanihi nau bhumam, tavanu charakingaram, darshanam nau bhagavada, hrisher asid anugrahat. That Hrishi has blessed us. Now they have come to their senses. First time when they saw Narada Maharshi, these words didn't come from them. Then it was they were drunk. First of all, they were drunk. That means you can't expect any sense from them, whatever they were saying. Plus all the other sense gratification, what was going on there. They couldn't even offer respects to Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi felt sorry for them that the children of a great personality like Vaishravanam has to be like this, in this condition. So he said, for such people, they won't understand because of that, the impact of wealth in the family. That so much wealth, it has turned their sense completely. They couldn't think properly anymore. That is called Shri Madhamnam. Due to wealth, you become blind. You can't think anymore properly. So he's saying that, he said that you become the tree. Daridriyam Paramanjanam. The right remedy for your disease is poverty. Told him, go and stand there. 100 years you stand there. Krishna will come and then he will release you from that bondage. And stood there from the highest position of Kuvera's son, Vaishravanam's children, came to this position as two trees to stand there. And though they have recognized it later, now they opened their eyes and started realizing what wealth has done for them. So that's what it is saying there. That. And it is after that famous verse. Vani kunanu kathane shravanau kathayam hastauja karmasu manastavapadayorma smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishtim sadam darshanestu bhaval tanunam. That is a very important verse. What they are saying there is that from now on, let this not happen to us again, what we went through before. Let our mind always be absorbed in hearing about you. Because if we hear about you continuously, our ears fully occupied by hearing about you, the hands in your service and mind absorbed in your memory, and the head always offering obeisances to you and the places wherever you are present, and our eyes all the time look for association with devotees. Vani gunanu kathaye shravanau kathayam hastau cham karmasu manastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishtisadam darshanestu bhaval tanunam. So when sometimes we require this, isn't it? Otherwise we won't learn. You won't learn everything from the book, but you will learn from experience in life. When you are gone through a situation like that, then you will come to your senses. Then you don't need a book after that. The experience will teach you that is what has happened here also.
that immediately they realized that this what Nalakuvera and Manigriva spoken that verse, this mood should come to us when we hear Bhagavatam. What they are saying there. Vani gunanukathaye shravano dhayam. If we get that mood, that means Bhagavatam is working. Otherwise Bhagavatam is not working. It becomes a story. So, we should not feel like talking anything else except about Krishna. Only think about Krishna's glories, and at this moment our mind goes after sense enjoyment, right? At that time we have to say to Krishna that sense enjoyment propensity in us to enjoy, that should go, disappear from inside. And to hear about Krishna, to offer obeisances to Krishna, to serve Krishna with the hands, and in the same way, remember everything about Krishna in the mind. In this way, Nalakuvera and Manigriva pray to Krishna. That last verse is very important. Vani gunanu kadaye shravano kathayam. Right? Able to, that desire to build up inside to hear about Krishna. People fight all the time, isn't it? Should I hear Bhagavatam or not? That doubt is people's mind still. Is it wasting time? A lot of people think like that. I know that. It is like that. People think, is it a waste of time? 3 hours to sit and hear Bhagavatam? What do I get from that? People, that's due to our, that mind from inside is telling us that, are you wasting your time? Once that thought comes, mind will, and Buddhi says from inside, makes the decision. He says, why all the way go to hear Bhagavatam? It's just a waste of time. Once that has come, then that's a misfortune. What can you say more? Right? So, here he is saying, Malagavera and Manigriva is saying, we should be able to hear about you. We should be able to offer obeisances to you. And we should be able to circumambulate your temples. So, in order to elevate ourselves to that state of mind, and initially there will be difficulty. And that is the same situation with Mahabali here. Mahabali situation also. And now he has come with all his army, commanders, everybody together. And like he says, he comes here. Alabdhamaga, 23rd verse. Somasya, kevalam klesha bhagina, sarva ede ranamukhe, bhakusho nirjidamaraha. That they didn't get the nectar first. They didn't get it. Mohini took everything and handed over to the demigods, right? Suffered a lot to churn the milk ocean. Put a lot of effort, right? And previously, many times, they have beaten the demigods, who the demons, right? So this time also, they have come fully prepared to fight, and they were blowing the conch shell to declare that they are ready for the war. And at that time, when Mahabali said that he is ready for the war, and can they win the battle now? This question comes up, right? In this particular battle. But because by now, the demigods have taken the nectar and they become very powerful. And you could see that normally, when they are in trouble, the demigods are Narayana Padashraya. They take Krishna shelter when they are in trouble. But when they become strong, they also have the same problem like everybody else. They forget Krishna. This is what this chanting milk ocean is pointing out to us. When you feel materially comfortable, you will forget Krishna. You will feel like, what Krishna? You will think like that, right? So here, that they have taken Krishna shelter, they have taken the nectar also, whereas the demons, Narayana Padashraya is mentioned before the war started, isn't it? Demons have not taken the nectar and they have not taken Krishna shelter either, neither, right? But Mahabali is saying to them, we have also won the battle sometime before.
Sometimes we have one, because in the history, if you look back, my own ancestors said when Hiranyakashipu went there, they ran away from there. They didn't even fight. Similarly, Tarakasura came, they walked away. There are many instances in the history when demons have won over the demigods, right? So, Bahusho Nurjidamara says that even though many times we have lost in the battle, but many times we have won also. So Mahabali is thinking like that, right? In Vedam, this is spoken in a much more subtle way. The same story is there in the Vedam. Here in Puranam, it is presented in one way. It won't tell you openly everything, how subtle the whole thing is, which is in the Vedam. Right? In Vedam, certain mantram when you chant, they'll tell you to chant in a very low voice, at a very low pitch. Right? For example, Ajahudi, when they perform sacrifices, when they perform on the homam, they say certain mantram, chant, you have to chant in a very low volume, right? So, the place when the demigods are losing, the same churning the milk ocean, it comes through mantram in the Vedam. So, wherever the demigods are getting defeated, they are told to chant it very low tone, on a low volume, right? So, and there also, in Vedam also it says, that demigods do lose the battle, right? And in Bhagavatam also, Jarasandha said once Krishna has lost it with him, isn't it? Out of 18 times, 17 times he lost, but one time he won. And he said to everybody in the world, I have won, Krishna lost. He went around and told everybody, Krishna and Balaram has run away from the battlefield, he said. 18th time. So 17 times he said, I have lost, but 18 times I have won. So this argument that who won and who lost, and he who said this, when Shishuvala came to marry Rukmini, they lost, isn't it? Krishna took away Rukmini. Jarasandha is saying to Shishuvala, don't worry about it. You may lose sometime, but I have also won with Krishna. We can win, he says. It's not that everything is lost. So at that time, Jarasandha consoled. He is a friend of Shishuvala. They are good friends, good mates. So he says to Shishuvala, that don't worry, he said. Krishna can be beaten. Shishuvala was not very happy with the whole thing. Husband has come. The bridegroom has come fully prepared, ready to marry, and somebody comes and takes a wife away. How would you feel? What happened? That's what happened, isn't it? Krishna has come and taken Rukmini away from there. And Shishuvala felt so upset. Now you can imagine why Shishuvala hates Krishna so much. That after that incident, Shishuvala could not tolerate Krishna anymore. The hate that has built up inside. And Shishuvala said to Jarasandha and other friends who were there, all his friends were there, Jarasandha. And Shishuvala says to them, what's the use of me having all good friends like you? You couldn't do anything, could you? So Jarasandha felt it when Shishuvala said that. So Jarasandha says to Shishuvala that I have beaten him before once. So if you work hard, we can beat him. It's not difficult, he said. So many times I've lost to Krishna, but I have won once, he said. So, so actually what has happened was, in every time when they fought, Krishna was sending them back, saying that it is not time for you to come. We need you still for some more time in this world. Krishna says to Balaram, we should not kill him. Send him back, let him go. Right? That is how the 17 times it happened. He wanted to keep Jarasandha remaining in this world. And then later on, Jarasandha goes back, right? Then he's saying to the Brahmanas, Jarasandha was a big, like Krishna, he had a lot of respect for the Brahmanas. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, go Brahmana Hitayacha. That applies to Jarasandha also. Equally, he had respect for the Brahmanas. So he called the Brahmanas and says to them, he was a great devotee, he says to them that I have been serving you all these years. Look at my situation like this, he said. At least I should win once with Krishna. Every time I lose, he said. So, Brahmanas told him, we will sort this out for you, right? And Brahmanas spoke to Krishna and said to him, at least lose once. For pleasing the Brahmanas, Krishna has done that. He lost the battle, right? What did he do? That for Brahmana's sake, Krishna ran away from the battlefield to please the Brahmanas. And because if Brahmanas have spoken something, that's my word. That's how Krishna has believed that. They are my face, isn't it? Krishna's face is the Brahmana. Right? So, one time, one instance, Krishna agreed to lose and ran away from there. Right? And Jarasandha took that as his success. Right? Brahmanas are all devotees. Krishna's devotees, right? So, if they say to Krishna something, Krishna will agree for that. And Brahmana, the fire, are both Krishna's face, right? So, you will see this in the Rishabhadev's appearance also. When you look at the fifth canto. Nabhi, the king, Nabhi, he performed this putragameshti, same like Dasharatha performed putragameshti, sacrifice to have children. Same way Nabhi also performed putragameshti, right? So, at that time, when the putragameshti sacrifice was performed, being pleased with the sacrifice, when Krishna came into the sacrificial arena, the king Nabhi didn't say one thing, didn't say anything, right? So, Krishna stood there, Nabhi was not saying anything. So, what did Krishna do at that time? What was the purpose of the sacrifice? He asked the Brahmanas who were present there. Brahmana says to Krishna, that our king has no son, no children, right? And we want him to have a son like you. Krishna will always make sure what Brahmanas have spoken will come true. You may wonder why Brahmanas have been given such a higher position in the society for their close relationship with Krishna. So, Krishna says to them, there is nobody like me, there is only me. There is no one else like me. Right? Like the battle between Ramachandra and Ravana, you don't have another war to show comparing with that. Between Ravana and Yuddham. That battle is only that battle. There is no other comparable battle. Right? But Brahmana said to Krishna, we prayed like this, that he should have a son like you. We have prayed like that, he said. So, that time, Krishna thought for a while and told the Brahmana, if it is like that, I have to come myself. They have no choice. Because there is nobody else who is like me, he said. You are my face, and to listen to you, what you say to make it happen is my duty, he said. I will come as his son. And what else? Another thing they asked, that we find it very difficult to chant the holy name. And that also should be make it happen properly. If you look into the fifth canto, you will find that in the third chapter, that prayers from the from Rishabhadev's in the third chapter, if you look into the verse 12. What did the Brahmana ask Krishna? He says, Atha, 12th verse, 5, 3, 12. Atha, Katanchit. Skhalana, Chulpadana, Jrumbhana, Duravasthanadishu, Vivashanam,
nas maranaya jvara maranada maranadashayam abhi sagala kashmala nirasanani tava gunakrita namadheyani vachane gocharani bhavandu.
That's all what they wanted.
Tava gunakrita namadheyani vachane gocharani bhavandu.
It means that your holy names, which speaks about your glories, transcendental activities,
tava guna krudha namadheyani,
those holy names,
vachana gocharani bhavandu,
we should be able to chant that all the time, right?
Because atha kathanjit skhalana chut padana jrumbhana duravastana adishu, because these situation when you have tripped, or due to hunger, or you can see jhumbhanam means that yawning. These are all times when the soul can leave the body. That's why when they say when you yawn, people say bless you. Why do they say that? That's a possibility that the soul can leave the body at that time. That's where it's coming from. Or disturbed state. We normally don't think all these things, do we? Often people say like that, don't they? That when they yawn, big yawn, people say like that. For this reason only. That time of death, when body is ready to drop any time, these are all some of the indications of that, right? At that time, we should be able to remember you and chant your holy name without any difficulty. That's what I'm saying here. Atha kadanjit skhalana chur padana jrumbhana duravastanadishu vivashanam na smaranaya jvara maranadashayam abhi sagala kashmala nirasanani tava gunakrita namadhayani vajana gocharani bhavandu.
At that time we should be able to chant your holy name, they said to him like that, right? For example, suppose you got suddenly frightened in life. Sometimes fear comes and takes control, isn't it? So, and at that time, we may not chant the holy name. When you are suddenly exposed to some fear, some big fear happened in your life, at that time you may not think of chanting the holy name. Or if you are going to fall, tripped and fall or something happens, you may not chant the holy name. Some other rubbish sound will come from the mouth. Right? So, similarly, when we are leaving the body, right? When you are leaving the body, you will see it's not easy to get the holy name to chant. Impossible practically. That's why we arrange everybody else to come and chant. Because you know you won't be able to chant. The body is gone, completely finished. The soul is ready to go, leave the body. At that time, the battle is going on inside. Soul is on its transit, leaving the body. At that time, you tell, at the time of leaving the body, you should chant the holy name. You can say all that, but you won't be able to chant. That's the situation. Like that. Right. So, at that time, when you are leaving, all your friends, family, they are all leaving, you are all finished with the connection with them, all of them, isn't it? Said, those who were able to do it, who have succeeded in doing that, at the time of leaving the body, who were able to chant the holy name, Uddhava mentions that to Krishna about them, right? About them he is saying here that yasmin jana prana viyoga kale. You will find this in the end of Bhagavatam. I think it is in the 28th chapter or something. You will find Uddhava saying this to Krishna, that it is not easy. That's what the point is. Point is, it's not easy to chant the holy name at the time of death. Right? So you will see this, Uddhava mentions this to Krishna, that how do you expect me to listen to everything what you are saying? Because even to chant the holy name at the time of death is impossible, he said. In the 29th chapter he says, Sudushchara mimam manye yogacharyam analpana yad anjasa puman siddhyal tanme bruhyan anjasachyuda prayasha pundarigaksha yunjando yogino mana vishidandi asamahanam manu nigraha karshidaha. So many things in the, you can only notice this when you look at personalities like Uddhava saying that. Uddhava says this. That's when you start taking notice of it. Uddhava is not an ordinary person. And he is saying to Krishna like this. How will I able to remember your name at the time of death? He says. And so, at the time of leaving, if you are able to say these two letters, Krishna, and leave this body, it is auspicious, no doubt. That means the soul has reached, definitely, Krishna's abode, or gone back to free from the cycle of birth and death, right? So, he says there that gopis were responsible that they were fortunate enough to remember Krishna's holy name all the time. And he said to them that you were able to remember Krishna's name, so even at the time of leaving the body, there won't be any difficulty for you. Right? Able to remember Krishna, able to offer obeisances to Krishna, glorify Krishna. And therefore, Yashoda Devi, Nanda Maharaj, gopis, all of them, they are the most fortunate people, says Uddhava. Right? So, even Uddhava says this, that whatever conditions one may be, because battlefield means chances of losing the life, even in that situation, one should be able to see the positive side of life. What is that? Positive thing is, if you can remember Krishna and leave the body, you can reach a better destination after leaving this body. So, he said like that, that personalities like Uddhava, even in adverse conditions, they will see the good side of it, the positive side of it, right? Whereas some people, in all conditions, they will see the negative side of life. Right? Like Kartik month or Damodar month also, devotees go to Vrindavanam and places where, with the intention of glorifying Krishna because of its special time. But when they go there, they see all the problems they have to face at that time. Other difficulties of everybody comes at that time. So accommodation problem, prasadam problem, and so many other things. So devotees do sometimes find it difficult in that situation, right? So here you can see that the demigods have taken the nectar, and at this moment in time they are in a strong situation. At this moment in time, demons are not, they are in a weak state, right? They are not thinking like that, right? So what they were saying was that we have won few times, they have also won many times. So when they came to fight this war, the demons are thinking, we can also win. It's not that every time they are going to win, right? That's why Simhanadan, 24th verse, Simhanadan Vimunjanda Shankhan Dadmur Maharavan Drishtva Sabatnan Ulsiktan Bhalabit Kupido Brisham. 24th verse says like that, right? So they blew the conch shell, wanted to start the war, and they were ready, they were thinking that they were going to win the war, and they stood there, and opposite side, who is the head? Indra, right? And so Mahabali looked at Indra and blew the conch shell. We'll talk about Indra later, because among the demigods, Krishna says, I am Indra. Is it not? Krishna says, I am Indra. So here, thousand names of Vishnu, if you look, you will find there about Krishna spoken that Ranapriya, Krishna likes fighting. Krishna likes the fighting. Stotra Ranapriya, he says. That one who glorifies Krishna like that, he likes them. That to talk about Krishna is Ranapriya. Stotra Ranapriya, he says. If you break that word, those who enjoy fighting and enjoying, Krishna likes them as well. It all depends on how you break that word. Stotra Ranapriya. So, those who perform austerities and penances and glorifies Krishna in that way, Krishna likes them. Similarly, those who fight the battle based on religious principles, Dharma Yudham, Krishna likes them also. Those who are fighting like that. So, Krishna put these asuras all together. Now, Krishna is going to bring all the demigods now to fight. We'll start that after a few minutes. Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davati nirvavanam shrayakai davachandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrita swadanam sarvatna suvanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti ഐനന്ദതനുജകിങ്കരം പതിതാമം ശമേ ഭവാം ബുധോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗളദശ്രുധാരയാ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുലകയർനിശിതം കദാ വഭൂ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിദം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിദം ശൂന്യായിദം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദവരഹേ നമേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം വിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനം മർമഹദാം കരോദുവ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാദുലം ഭടോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാദര സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ഉദ്ധവ വെന്റ് ടു വൃന്ദാവനം. സോ കൃഷ്ണ സെൻഡ് എ മെസ്സേജ് ടു ദ ഗോപീസ് ആൻഡ് ഓൾസോ ടോൾഡ് ഹിം ടു സീ നന്ദമഹാരാജൻ യശോദ. After seeing Nandamaharaj and Yashoda, Uddhava wanted to leave, but prior to that, Yashoda Devi started crying. Tears came from her eyes. Krishna didn't come back as he promised. He didn't come back. And hearing about Krishna's activities in Mathura, Yashoda Devi sat there listening to all, and tears were coming from her eyes. And looking at Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Uddhava felt what an amount of attachment and affection they have developed for Krishna. It was at that time Uddhava says to Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Yuvam Shlanghyanamo Nunam, in the 46th chapter, you will find this. Verse 30. Dehinam iha manada Narayane Akhila Guru Yalkrada Madhiri Drishi. There is something, great fortune you had in this life, because how did you develop such an attachment for Krishna? Narayani Akhila Guru Yalkrada Madhiri Drishi. If you go that way, you will see Uddhava is saying to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, that's where that verse 32, you see that? 10:46:32. Yasmin Janam Prana Vyoga Kale Kshanam Samavesha Mano Vishuddham Nirhurtya Karmashe Mashayati Paramgadim Brahma Mayo Arkavarnaha. That at the time of death, living entities, even though they are not completely purified in their heart, still there is a lot of impurities in the heart. But if by chance, yasmin janam pranaviyoga kale kshanam, for a second kshanam, samavesha mano vishuddham, somehow or the other they happen to think about Krishna. And these two letters came from their tongue. And they were able to leave the body. But nirhirtya, it says, karmashe mashu yadi paramgadim brahma mayo arkavarna. You see how that verse is structured? He's saying there that if the body, the material, the subtle body is not 100% pure. It's not 100% pure. But somehow or the other, their prarabdham is finished. Prarabdham is over. Right? And they have developed sufficient knowledge. Wealth of knowledge is inside. And parangadim brahmamayo arkavarna. And they have developed sufficient attachment to Krishna. And due to that, even though the subtle body is not pure, somehow or the other, that holy name has come from their tongue. All these scenarios can happen. Not that everything is structured the way it works. It doesn't. Nothing is structured like that. We all leave body in different levels of realization, purity, understanding. We all leave the body. Everybody. One person don't leave the body exactly like the way another person leaves the body. Even though they may have the same disease at the time of death. But while leaving the body, one person's consciousness will be different from another person's consciousness. That's why it's saying like that. Yasmin jana pranaviyoga kale. At the time of leaving the body, kshanam. At that moment, that is mercy. Krishna's mercy it is. It's not in your hands. Nobody can decide that. Prior to leaving, I will leave the body in this way and I will leave the body. It won't happen. At that time, the whole decision is in Krishna's hands. Antaryami inside. He makes a decision. At what point he should leave the body. These are important things. Pranaviyoga kale kshanam samaveshya. For a second it so happened. Mano avishuddham. Mind is still not 100% pure. There is some vasana still there in the subtle body. It's not completely pure. But nurhartya, prarabdham is all finished. There is no karma vasana anymore left. Remember, we discussed this before. Jnanendriyam, senses of knowledge create bhoga asakti, to enjoy senses. That is bhoga vasana. Karmendriyam, senses of action, that create karma vasana. So both senses of knowledge and senses of action, in two different levels it's operating inside us.
Jnanaindriyam create karma bhoga vasana, karmendriyam creates karma vasana. Because karmendriyam's nature is to do karma. Vaka, pani, padam, palpam, payu, these are all the karmendriyams. Their tendency is to engage in karma because they are used to karma. And that karma creates problem, vasana again. So both jnana yoga, jnana indriyam and karma indriyam, both of them has its own impact on us. What he is saying here is, karmashaya vashuyadi, karma vasana has gone from this person. Paramgadim brahmamayo arkavarnam, it says. Not only that, he has come out of the karma vasana and he has also developed sufficient knowledge of the soul. Self-realization has happened to him to a large degree. To a very large degree, but still there is some impurities in the heart. But by chance, by Krishna's grace, if he is able to chant the holy name at the time of that death, if that happens to him, he says that has that degree of attachment. Uddhava says to Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj, you have reached that state. That's your present state, he says to them. It's a sort of an indication to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda from Uddhava's side that you are in a very fortunate situation, because people who leave the body in that way, because nothing is guaranteed in this world, even Krishna's parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, similarly Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, we may say that they were all good, fortunate, Nitya Siddhas and all that. But when they are going through this world, the rules of law of this world, they apply to them as well. That also you will see in the Bhagavatam. Not to get completely, because our nature is like this, we think that, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda is Krishna's parents. So they already got the ticket to go, but they don't have to worry about anything. Same thing in Vasudeva and Devaki also. But imagine that when you look at it from the proper way, how Krishna has spoken about it, Uddhava. Uddhava said, Krishna says to them, I would like everyone to come back by their own effort. That means Krishna expects everyone to do some work also. It's not free. Even if you work hard, you got to work hard. Even as I mentioned in even material life, how hard we have to work to maintain this body. If it is like that, do you think spiritual life is going to be easy? It's not going to be easy. That we have to recognize this fact. That a lot of sadhana is required, a lot of surrender is required, and a lot of effort from our side is important. And after all that, and what does Krishna say? Anega janma samsiddham. Many, many lifetimes. If you can endeavor like that, tato yadi parangadiyam, you may reach that destination. That is how Krishna says that. Now, whichever way you want to interpret that, you can interpret. Whichever way you like it, you can make it very simple. And that, like the way you say, chant, dance and go back home, back to Godhead and prasadam. That way also you can talk about it, but if you strictly follow what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look at that sixth chapter, he says there, isn't it? Then, anega janma siddhena tevi yadi parangadim. Otherwise it's not going to happen.
6:45 I think.
Read that verse. Prayatnad yadamanastu yogi samshuddha kilbhisha anega janma samsiddham tato yadi parangadim. This applies to all yogis. Do not think that this is only for Ashtanga yogi. No, it applies to any yogi. Everybody who is following Bhakti Margam, Jnana Margam, Karma Margam, they are all yogis. They are all in the path. So this applies to everybody. He's saying, and when the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed of all contaminations, then ultimately achieving perfection after many, many births of practice, he attains the supreme goal. So you are on a long haul, not on a short, intensive, few weeks course. It's not going to happen. It's on a long haul. A person born in a particularly righteous, aristocratic or sacred family becomes conscious of his favorable conditions for executing yoga practice. With the determination, therefore, he begins his unfinished task, and thus he completely cleanses himself of all material contaminations. When he is finally free from all contaminations, he attains the supreme perfection, Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the perfect stage of being freed from all contaminations. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. There is another place Prabhupada mentions that material life means, he says, is nothing but full of contamination. Just existing in this material world means you are contaminated, heavily contaminated. He said, so that means that when this body will leave us when the contamination is gone. When the purity happens, the body will go. Body must go. That's the rule behind that. So, coming back here, we are saying this, that, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the nectar that's being served here. And the demigods who have taken the nectar, plus they have surrendered to Krishna. Isn't it? Narayana Padashraya, it says. And the demons, they have taken the Varuni, and they have not taken Krishna shelter, right? So, what Bhagavatam is saying there is that only when you have two opposing forces, there can be a fight. So, you require people on both sides to fight. If there is no two sides, there can't be a fight. So, you will see this in the Ramayanam. Parashuram is coming from one side. Ramchandra is coming from the other side. Right? Parashuram's purpose is over. His mission is over. His mission was to kill. And he did all that. He punished the Kshatriyas heavily. 21 times, wandered around the planet and killed the Kshatriyas without any mercy. Parashuram didn't know what is peace. All he knew was with the chopper continuously killing everybody. He did that, right? So, when he came and his purpose of coming was over and Parashuram had to leave the world. At that time, through tapasya, he has acquired a lot of strength. It is then that he is meeting Ramachandra coming opposite to him, right? So when Ramachandra saw Parashuram, the same person, Ramachandra is smiling at Parashuram. Smiling at Parashuram. Because Ramachandra doesn't have any weapons to fight with Parashuram. And this smile of Ramachandra is his weapon at that time, right? And that Parashuram was also seeing Ramachandra's smile. Parashuram's anger completely disappeared when he saw Ramachandra smiling, right? So here you can see there in this 24th verse what it says. Simhanadan vimunjanda shanghan dadmur maharavan drishtva sabatna ulsiktan bhalabit kubido brisham. He's saying that Indra, all the demons have come ready to fight, and Indra saw this, Indra got angry. Only a few days ago, Indra was going to them like this, isn't it? To asking them to help. When he saw now that now nectar has gone in, Amrutam has gone inside, got strength to back. You can see in life, when you have good health, when you've got a lot of wealth, it's difficult to control the ego. It'll come out naturally.
So here our demigods also, the nectar has gone inside, got strength back, and also they have taken Krishna shelter, Narayana Padashraya. Right. So Indra says, when Mahabali comes like this, immediately Indra got angry with them, and he says that Indra stood there as though Mahabali's situation is spoken there, then the moon is rising behind the mountains in the morning. So, and Mahabali, it was spoken as the moon. Now, about Indra, it says, like the sun rising. Like the sun rising. You see there? That 25th verse. Airavadam dikkarinam aruda shushuhe sarad yatha sravat prasravanam udayadri maharpati. About Mahabali said in the verse 18 that Ereje Chandra Mivodaye, like the way moon rises, Mahabali came. About Indra says, like the way sun rises, Indra came. It says, right? And Indra was on top of his famous Airavatam elephant, right? And Indra, as usual, very well dressed. He likes to impress others. Even when he was punished by Krishna, after the Govardhanam, lifting Govardhanam, all his ego was shattered. And then he comes to see Krishna, isn't it? So even when he came to see Krishna, at least you should be a little bit modest. No. He had put his big expensive crown and dressed very well. And still the mood is, you know who I am. That mood hasn't left him yet. And that's why when he came, Krishna didn't even look at him. Completely ignored him. Actually, we are more close to Indra than Krishna. In that sense. Our nature, the human nature, is very much like Indra. When we have a lot of wealth, and we have some position and all in the world, immediately you feel we should be recognized in this world. We want recognition from the world, isn't it? So Indra's mood is like that. And when in the... So he came in a way, so in a challenging mood, right? So both their ego, Mahabali's ego and Indra's ego, both ready to fight, right? So, when the same thing, when Krishna and Balaram walked in to fight Malla, the Malayudham, where Chanura and Mushtiya were there at that time, all those who were present there in the assembly, they remembered Krishna and glorified them. They were saying that Krishna has given liberation to Putana, and Krishna has performed the Rasa dance, Rasa Krida or Rasa Leela. And then how Brahma was given a lesson. Krishna has taught the lesson to Brahma as well. And how Krishna lifted the Govardhana hill. In this way, all the people who were assembled in the arena there, in the where the fight was going to happen with Chanura and Mushtiya, they glorified Krishna like this, remembering all the different Vrindavana pastimes. Krishna enjoyed all that, hearing these glorifications, right? Particularly when devotees glorify, Krishna loves that. Even though Krishna has come to fight with Chanura and Mushtiya, what he enjoyed was the prayers of the audience who are present there. Right. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find at several places glorifications of Krishna. Stuti Stotra Rana Priya. In the Sahasranamam it says, two things Krishna likes, Stuti Stotram and fighting Ranam. Stuti Stotra Rana Priya, it says. And that too, if that Stuti
is filled with bhakti. Krishna enjoys that with bhakti, right? And then once he hears that stuti, he will stand there waiting to listen to it. He will stand there simply to listen to the stuti. Stuti stotram ranapriya, it says. So, like you can see, when Gajendra took that lotus flower and kept it on his forehead, and he was chanting the mantra what he learned from his previous life, which Krishna made him to remember in the Indradyumna's body. So at that time, he is chanting and said, Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. With that, when the flower was offered to Krishna, Krishna felt immensely happy, seeing that devotee's mood. And so, because of the pain what Gajendra was going through, because the crocodile was biting him, he was losing his strength to speak, to glorify. So the stuti became very slow. It slowed down, right? And before Krishna came here, Krishna says to Lakshmi Devi and to Bhumi Devi, I have to go. I have to rush. My devotee is in trouble. I have to go, he said. So Lakshmi Devi and Bhumi Devi, they take their time to get ready, as usual. So they need their own time, isn't it? So Krishna says to them, I can't wait. If you are ready, you can come. Otherwise, you can stay back, he said to them. Right. So, but Lakshmi Devi and Bhumi Devi, both of them, with two hands, Krishna brought them on top of Garuda, and they all came together to see this famous devotee, Gajendra. So, there, you will see mentions there, that a person, when he feels tremendous distress in the heart, and pain in the mind, and in the heart, when he calls Krishna, asking for help, at that time, Krishna shows more compassion to the devotee. And that is why you will see there that in Krishna Avataram, Krishna's appearance, you will see if Kamsa and Vasudeva become friendly, then the purpose won't be fulfilled. If Kamsa and Vasudeva become friendly, Krishna doesn't want that to happen. Then Krishna won't be able to come here. Only if there is problem between Kamsa and Vasudeva, right? If you look at the 10th canto, in the first chapter itself, verse 60. Pratiyadu kumaroyam nahyad asmad astime bhayam ashtamad yuvayor gardbha mrityurme vihida khila, is saying. This is Krishna who has done this. This Kamsa who told Vasudev and Devaki, bring all the children. I don't want anybody here because your children are going to kill me, your eighth child. And there was confusion. Who is the eighth child? Because Kamsa was not very good in counting. It looks like that. Then he, when Vasudev, as soon as the child was born, brought him. Because he as a gentleman kept his word, brought the child to Kamsa. At that time, Kamsa says to Vasudev, Pradiyadu kumaroyam nahyasmad astime bhayam. The voice from the sky said, only the eighth child will kill me. So where did this good intelligence came for Kamsa? That's Krishna. Sometimes demons will completely shock us, some of the things what they do. Kamsa is a demon.
But look at the way he spoke to Vasudev. He says to Vasudev that, first son, I'm not bothered because the voice from the sky didn't say only the eighth child is going to kill me. It's not proper for me to kill a little baby like this. Only a few days ago he said everybody should be brought in front of me. Now he says, Pradyadu Kumaravayam, what has he done to me? He hasn't done anything to me. Why should I kill the baby? So sometimes demons also think in a better way. You know, they can also change their mind. And that is due to Krishna's prompting from within.
Ashtama divayor varga bhatur mrityur me vihida kila, he says.
And prior to that, one or two verses, Shuga Brahmarshi is teaching us some things. Look at those verses. He is saying here, 58th verse,
kim dusahamnu sadhuinam vidusham kim apekshitam kima karyam kadaryanam dustyajam kim dhridhalpanam.
He says, for people who are very truthful in their life, they find it not difficult to tolerate anything in this world because they are truthful.
He says, kim dusaham no sadhuinam.
Sadhu means, what he is referring to is here, that personality is like Vasudev, who are truthful in their life, who follows dharmam, in other words. They stick to dharmam in their life. For them, kim dusaham, what is difficult for them to tolerate.
Vidusham kim apekshitam,
he says. That means, people who have knowledge, vidwan, vidusham, what do they want from this world? Kim apekshitam. They don't want anything here. That is vidwan. That strength of vairagyam inside, they're knowledgeable, therefore they don't ask for anything.
Then, kima karyam kadaryanam.
On the other hand, wicked people, what is that they cannot do?
Kim akaryam kadaryanam dustyajam kim dridalpanam.
He says, people who have absolute faith in Krishna, what will they find difficult to give up in life? All these are important things. Shuka Brahmarshi will now and then say things like this. Because from a spiritual plan, from a spiritual position, he is saying this, that kim dusahamnu sadhuinam vidusham kim apekshitam kim akaryam kadaryanam dustyajam kim dridhalpanam. That who have absolute faith in the Shastram and Krishna, for them this world and the things here is of no significance. They don't care anything about the world.
Right. Drishtva samattvam tachaure satye jeva vyavastidam kamsas tushtamana rajan prahasan nidam abravid.
Seeing Vasudev with all these qualities in him and is equal-minded, he was not disturbed at all. He gave a word to Kamsa and he was doing that. And he was least upset about it, never showed any unhappiness or acted in any way. And Kamsa saw his balanced mind and that shocked Kamsa. Kamsa was frightened about death, whereas Vasudev is bringing his own child, that to the first child, and offering it to Kamsa. Seeing this, Kamsa got a shock. Seeing that shanti, peaceful state of Vasudev, and that's what he said, that equal vision, and also that truthfulness, seeing that, Kamsa smiled and spoke to him that verse, Pratiyadu Kumaravayam, that verse he has spoken, right? So, that I'm not frightened from this child, he said, take him away and when Vasudev brought that child, Krishna thought that if there seems to be a friendship developing between Kamsa and Vasudev, Kamsa is saying to Vasudev, take the child away, and there is some relationship building up. So Krishna thought that if this happens, I won't be able to come. Because Krishna avataram is the goal of all these things, isn't it? So, Krishna has decided this, that there has to have some problem. Otherwise, it won't happen. You can see how Krishna changed Kamsa's mind whenever he wanted. according to the situation. One who is staying within the heart, what is impossible for him? We think Kamsa thinks independently, isn't it? Kamsa also cannot think independently. It's completely controlled by Krishna, who is present within the heart. So, some disturbance, difficulty is necessary in life. And similarly, to chant the holy name also, you have to experience some problems in life. Otherwise, you won't come to chant the holy name. You will do it probably, but that won't be holy name. You may chant other things, but to properly, to feel the potency of the holy name, and to that surrender to Krishna, and to chant the holy name, you require some stress in life. And that is why Kunti Devi said that. Remember? Vipada sandhuda shashval tatra tatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam yasyal abunar bhava darshanam. She said that, isn't it? For this reason only. That, first of all, to get a desire to chant itself is difficult. Right? And similarly, to develop a desire in the heart, to inquire about Krishna, to see Krishna, that's also difficult. Right? And if it happens, then they say that you won't be able to even sleep. To that extent, it will build up inside the desire. You can see that when you people acquire a lot of wealth and everything goes very well in life, then they say, what temple? What chanting? Everything become related to spiritual life becomes difficult then. Even to wake up in the morning gets difficult. After that, it's only on time prasadam and enjoy life. Right? So, out of the four purushartham, purushartham means, what we say in English is religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Out of the four, the first and the last drops. The second and the third becomes important when a lot of wealth comes and life becomes comfortable. That's what happens. Vedam says to us, dharmam is the basis. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Dharmam is the basis of everything for a life in this world. Dharmam is the foundation. Based on dharmam, you can acquire artham. Based on dharmam, you can fulfill your kamam, desires. And if you do all that, then the 25%, the last one, moksham, you become entitled for that. This is the Shastram saying like that. Upanishads also says that. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Based on dharmam, if you live your life in this world, which nobody is living today, so therefore that question doesn't arise. Dharmam is not there in anybody's life. Artham is acquired through bad ways in the process of acquiring wealth. And sense gratification concerned, there also we don't follow the Shastram. Whatever gratify our senses, that is kamam today. And therefore, moksham is also not there. But main thing is that modern world has only two to follow. Artham, kamam. That's all. Dharmam, no one cares. Moksham, nobody bothers. This is modern society's state of mind. Dharmam is not important for them anymore. Who talks about dharmam? We should be stupid to talk about dharmam, they say. So dharmam is not important. Similarly, moksham, they say, what moksham? Who bothers? What happens after that? This is the mood of most of the population in the world today, isn't it? So, arthakama, that's all required. And in the middle of this arthakamam business, when you are in trouble, then comes a little harismruti. Remembers Krishna, a little bit at that time. And when you are in serious trouble, then you realize
Harismriti sarva vibhag vimokshanam. Otherwise, no. Only when you are in trouble, you'll start thinking, oh, we need some spiritual life also in life. Otherwise, nobody cares, right? So when danger comes, trouble comes, then Harismriti comes along with that. So, this churning milk ocean, all this message is put through that, through this churning of the milk ocean. That is why you see, in the next verse, you will see in that sixth chapter, when the churning was happening, the way it was put in the sixth chapter. In the verse, to go further, in the 17th verse, Eka, that is 8, 6, 17. Eka Eveshwara Stasmin, Surakarya Sureshwara, Vihartu Kamastanaha, Samudron Madhanadibhi, he says. Ega Eveshwara Stasmin Surakarya Sureshwara Vihartu Kamastanaha Samudron Madhanadibhi. The demigods, they stood in front with folded hands and prayed to Krishna. And the way they stood, Surakarya Sureshwara, Sura is the demigods, for their purpose Krishna has stood there. Vihartu kamasthanaha samudron madhanadibhi, he says. But Krishna wanted to play through this milk ocean churning business, right? So it is always when Krishna's pastimes happen, behind that the mood of Krishna is like this. He wants to have fun. All pastimes are like that. When he plays with Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, always you will find this. He is in a playful mood. Krishna is in a playful mood, right? Any pastime for Krishna, that's why it's called pastime, Leela. It's called for this reason, right? When he killed Hiranyaksha, the demon, when Krishna comes as the boar and healed Hiranyaksha, at that time also, Bhagavadam says like this, Vikreedidam, he uses the word. Did you see that? Kreeda, it is called. Vikreedidam means having this fun. That's why. The word used is Vikreedidam. Vikreedidam means it's just fun for boar. The boar is having a fun by beating up Hiranyaksha. Isn't it? Hiranyaksha and Krishna fought each other very fiercely, and fighting, he enjoyed it. Vikreedidam, it says. So, in several places in the Bhagavadam, this playing nature, Krishna's playing nature, you can find in killing all the demons. He enjoys that. So, and playing like this, and that too with, he doesn't like to play with us because we are not qualified enough or strong enough to fight. He wants strong people like our Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu, personalities like that, who have a lot of strength in them. And to play with those people who doesn't have bhakti, play fighting with them and remove that demonic nature in them. That is Krishna's pastime. And in fact, whole of Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but Krishna's pastime, it is. All through the Bhagavatam. Right? So, accordingly, you will see here in the 10th canto also, in the chapter, I think it is 33. This is confirmed that
It's all Kreeda. We think these pastimes in a different way. We don't understand why all these pastimes Krishna wants to play. 40th verse. Vikreditam vrajavadu ubiridanja Vishnu Shraddha nido anishunaya thavarna yedhya Bhaktim varam bhagavadim pratilabhya kamam hridrogamashu abahinoti achirena dhiraha. Rasa dance, it says here, is also vikreditam. It's a pastime. Krishna's pastime. Vrajavadhu ubiridanja Vishnu Shraddha nido anushruno yadhata varna yedya. One who hear this pastime, rasa dance, rasa lila, again and again and glorifies the rasa lila, that personality develops devotion in the heart and eventually he will get rid of his hridrogam, ashu, apahinoti, achirena dhiraha. What does hridroga means? Hridroga means not heart attack, not that rogam. We all have another disease inside, desiring, to enjoy, that desire, kamam, that is hridrogam. Kama means desiring things all the time, never satisfied in life. Wants to have more. That is it. Bhaktim bhayam bhagavati pratilabhya kamam hridrogam ashu abhinodi anchirena diraha. So this word is used everywhere for this reason, that these are in that same chapter. You will see in another way spoken there in that same chapter, 19th verse. If you look, Krishna vikreditam viksha. The same verse, chapter 33. It is only called, Shukha Brahmarshi calls it as Kreeda. Kreeda, it is Leela. It's a Kreeda. It's a play for Krishna. All this. Whole Bhagavatam is Krishna's Kreeda. It is. Krishna vikreditam viksha mumuhu khejarasriyaha kamardida shashangasya sagano vismido abhavad. When the demigods, they were traveling in the sky, they saw, after seeing this particular pastime, they got attracted to Krishna. Even the moon got attracted seeing the beauty of the pastime of this rasa dance. And then again in the verse 36, in the same chapter, gobinam talpadinam cha sarvesham eva dehinam yo andascharandi so adhyaksha kridane neha deha bhak. There Shukha Brahmarshi brought some philosophy into that. Normally it is story, rasa dance, but here you can see who are they. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying gobinam talpadinam cha sarvesham eva dehinam. Within the gopi's heart as the super soul, within their husband's heart also as the super soul. Krishna present within their husband's heart as the super soul, and also in the wife's heart as the gopi's heart as the super soul. That is why, because he is the super soul, when gopis came to dance with Krishna, the husbands slept comfortably in their home. They never even knew what was happening. And to stress that point, look at the second line. Yo andascharati so adhyaksha uses the word there. See there? Then, as Andaryami, who is the witness of everything, he is performing this kreeda, it says. Andaryami, who is the witness of everything, he is performing this kreeda. Kreeda means this play, this game, this leela. So, gobinam talpadinam cha sarvesham eva dehinam yo andascharati so adhyaksha kreedaneneha deha bhak. That he is playing this game in a human form. Taken a human form and playing this game. But you must never forget who he is. He is not an ordinary human being. Shuka Brahmarshi is reminding everybody this. That is why every time he uses the word this Kreda, simultaneously he says you should not forget it is Kreda. It is not a serious affair. It is his Leela. It is his pastime. That's the way to see these things. And also you should know the person who is doing all these things, he is the one who is present in everybody's heart as a super soul. He is reminding us that. And then in the next verse, again look at this. Anugrahaya bhudanam manusham dehamastida bhajade tadrishi kreda ya shutva talparo bhavel. Again reminding us, he is saying here that he accepted this form, human form, manusham deham astida. In a human form he came here. Anugrahaya bhudanam, to bless the people. Because only when he comes in that form, we will be able to relate with him. When he comes as a boar, when he comes as a even half man, half lion, we have no access towards him. The absolute truth. We have no access towards him. Boar or fish, tortoise. Suppose the tortoise comes, and if you have to offer obeisances to the tortoise, it's a bit difficult for us, isn't it? So for our sake, he took this form. That's what he's saying. Anugrahaya bhudanam manusham deham ashrita. Only to help us, so that we can relate with him. And vajade tadrishi kreda ya shutva talparo bhavel. And played all these games in this world, so that we get attracted to him. Ya shutva talparo bhavel. By hearing about these activities, we get attracted to him. For that purpose, he performed all these pastimes. So, first thing, it is a pastime. At the same time, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, you should know who is this personality performing this pastime. Shukha Brahmarshi is concerned, no problem, because he understands who it is. We don't understand it. That is the problem. That's why, everywhere you will see the using the same word, kreda, kreda, kreda. Why? Why is it like that? To make us aware that do not try to ask your logic, don't bring your logic into it. Why it is like this? That question has no meaning. Because who has come? Who has come? Yo andascharadiso adhyaksha. Yeah? Yo andascharadiso adhyaksha. He has come. One who is present in everyone's heart as the super soul, and one who is the witness of all our activities, he has come. So you don't ask for logic there. That is why throughout Bhagavatam, when you study this, every pastime, you have to bear this in mind all the time. Otherwise, our mind will come in and start putting the spanner. Mind will say, how can that happen? This is all mythology. This is all this, that. All kinds of questions will come. That should not come. While reading Bhagavatam, these are the things to take notice of. What Shukha Brahmarshi is telling is how to read Srimad Bhagavatam. That gopinam talpadinam cha sarvesham eva dehinam yo andascharadiso dyaksha kridanene deha bhak. He has accepted a form in front of us, that form. Similarly, when Krishna left the planet, nobody says Krishna left the body. You will never see. He has withdrawn his form. That's how it says. Have you noticed that? In the end of Bhagavatam, when Krishna leaves the body, it's never spoken, Krishna left his body and gone. No. He took away the form from front of us. Just like he brought the form in front of us, he withdrew that form from us. We are back into Maya again. When that form gone, back into Maya again. So, these are the key points in the Bhagavatam. Anugrahaya bhudanam manusham deham astida. Only to give us an opportunity. Otherwise, what opportunity we have to understand who is God? What is the truth? How do we know? Unless he himself comes to us and tell us. And that's what this Krishna's appearance is all about. Bhajade tadrishi kreda ya shutva talparyo bhavel. He says, that kreda, if you keep on hearing about that, bhakti will develop. If you hear about him, ya shrutya talparyo bhavel.
the develop of bhakti will happen. Says like that. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Yes. 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 Yes.